much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Okay, band meeting. Brett.
Yes.
Jermaine.
Also yes.
Murray, present. Of course. Right. Oh, yes, item one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Man, you guys were hilarious.
Thanks.
Thank you.
How come you don't have your own podcast?
Well, we did years ago, but we couldn't get an audience.
Yeah, we may as well have been on NBC.
Hi-ho.
Well, you know, things have changed. I mean, if you get on a podcast network, podcasts can lead to a book deal, which can lead to a basic cable holding deal, which can lead to Hulu, which leads to Amazon, which leads to a Golden Globe speech where you're thanking the trans community.
I like all those things.
Except Amazon. They gave Woody Allen a show, and they wouldn't take my humidifier back.
And now.
Okay, so, I'm about to really lose it. So I'm going to go to my office and masturbate, and when I come back, I'd love to hear some ideas.
Our feature presentation.
I do not like waking up like I did this morning.
How was that?
I mean, it's not ideal. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday. It's the 6th of September.
What was different today?
Well, I have two alarms.
Sure.
The first one's music.
Mm-hmm.
And then... I can take my time and sort of wake up over the course of about 15 or 20 minutes. That goes off at 3:50.
Okay.
And then I set the backup for 4:30. Like, that's the last second. And I also put it in the bathroom.
Yeah, so you have to get up.
So I have to jump up, and because it wakes other people up, including my wife, and she's not thrilled with that necessarily. So I almost never let it get to the backup.
Mm-hmm.
But this morning I heard the backup, and I thought, you know how you wake up in a haze? I wasn't even close to waking up at that point, and it starts beeping.
So there was no initial alarm.
Yeah, I didn't set that one.
Oh.
I didn't set that
okay.
one. Okay. So there wasn't as much music as normal to wake me up pre-second alarm.
Like at all?
Well, there was none, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So, and when you're sleeping pretty well, which I was, it takes a little bit. Like, there's a fire alarm going off. I don't know what's happening.
Confusing.
Yeah. And then I realize that I'm waking everybody up. So then I jump out of the bed and run into the bathroom.
Which probably didn't shake the bed at all.
Not
and
at
freak
all.
Her out.
No.
No.
No. Although that is exactly what woke her up. So,
oh, no.
So then I ran into the bathroom and turned it off. Now I'm sort of on the clock because that's the least amount of time that I can jump into the shower.
Right. You are not making your omelet.
No. I don't. Do I strike you as the kind? Do I strike you as the kind of guy that makes an omelet?
No.
No. That's not where any of the time comes from.
No. Okay.
So that goes off. I jump in the shower, and then I'm rushing around, and I finally get into my car, and I'm sort of, you know, a little, everything's last minute.
You're frazzled.
A little frazzled, yeah. Mm-hmm. So then I get near the station, and I reach into my pocket for my card key.
Oh, no, Kevin.
And the card key is less there than it was the last time I was in my car.
Okay.
So now I don't have my card key.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been a particular problem of mine for quite some time.
How long do you think?
Well, I mean, all time.
Yeah. Decades, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say probably 100 years.
Okay.
I'd say probably in former lives.
It is a long time.
I couldn't keep track of it. So now I pull into the station. I'm a little bit late already.
Right.
And then I have to do the call of shame.
Right.
Which is I call the hotline and somebody, in this case Dave, picks up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God he was here.
Yeah, that's shocking. Okay.
And I say, can someone please come out and get me? So... And I also pull over to the left a little bit, so if anybody else comes in,
right, you could just
boom, they use their card,
yeah,
and
you
it's
could
Ralph.
Swoop in. Oh,
and it's Ralph.
You don't want that.
I don't want that.
No, a little bit of judging. I'm thinking
a little bit, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
But I don't want it right then at that moment.
Right.
So Ralph pulls sort of up next to me, but not quite all the way, and then he just sort of inches up next. Just very slowly just pulls up next to me, and he turns and he looks at me, and it's just, it's like I disappointed my parents.
Yeah.
It's just,
he wasn't mad. He was disappointed.
Just, yeah, he just sort of shakes his head like, that's no way to run a life. He looks at me like, come on.
Oh.
Get it together.
This is not how you wanted to start your Tuesday.
Right. And then I was sort of like, okay, I understand I'm a dumbass, but
let's swipe that card.
Whatever's next,
get in
swipe
there.
The card, and so I can pull in behind you, and let's get into work.
Oh, so now you're in a rush.
I was in a rush from the very second the second alarm goes off, because the second alarm, perhaps I need to set the second alarm a little earlier.
Or have three.
Well, I don't feel like I need three, because the second alarm works as long as I set it,
right.
which I did in this particular case. But yeah, I was in a rush from the very beginning, from the
right.
time I got up. I jumped up out of bed and ran, and that's really not a good way to start a day.
No.
So I was sitting in the driveway, and I was waiting, and Ralph pulled up, and then he gave me the look of disgust.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's judging me. And he should be. I mean, I've lost my card, my key card, 25 times, maybe.
You're not kidding, are you?
No, maybe 25 times.
Oh, Kevin.
And then I always have to, now later, I'm going to have to ask Dave, the King of Mexico, to get me another card.
Right.
And I know what he's going to do. He's going to say, all right, no problem. And he's going to get the same card with the same picture, because he won't let me change the picture on my ID card.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Kevining picture.
Well, of course it is.
So I always say, hey, you know, that's funny and all.
Right.
But that was Kevining was me looking stupid and then everybody making fun of me.
Like 5 years?
Five,
maybe?
6 years ago? Maybe even longer. I don't know.
Really? Okay.
But he 100% of the time goes, yeah, okay, no problem. And then he gets me the picture of me, Kevining, and that's my ID photo.
How do you think it's going so far?
I feel like it's right on track.
Okay.
I'm very happy with
okay.
this. So, all right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Fire beer mug!
Right?
Fire beer mug!
But that's why we have Beer Mug around, because we can blame everything that goes wrong on him.
Mm-hmm.
On the program today, we have highlights of the roast of Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I saw clips of it. It was on too late for me, but whoa. It seemed especially roasty this year.
It was. Yeah, we got some highlights in about a half hour. It was. Offensive is the goal.
Sure.
And it was pretty rough.
Yeah.
And Ann Coulter was there.
Yeah. Why? What?
I don't. I'm not positive why. But she. She's not fun.
No.
She's very, very, very far right on the political spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think just stirs stuff up just to stir stuff up.
Right.
She says things that are absurd.
Right.
And man, did people not like her. Wow. Did every person that got up to the microphone just take a shot at her?
I don't get it. And, why would you subject yourself to that?
Right. And then they cut to her. And
yeah.
Her, like... sort of smiling, sort of
right.
like not really finding it funny.
Which makes it so much worse.
Yeah, and it was 2 hours.
No.
The roast was 2 hours.
That's a long time.
So I've got some great highlights, including, I'm going to say a name that you're probably not going to believe, but one of the people that was roasting Rob Lowe was Jewel.
Jewel.
The singer.
Singer Jewel.
Yes.
Delightful Jewel.
Yeah.
Lived
yes.
in her car, Jewel.
Yes.
I don't think of her as a roaster.
I'm not positive how that happened.
Yeah.
So we have some highlights of that coming up just after 6. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do. We check in with him every Monday. I guess I'm going to have to talk about, you know.
What?
My Uber fun over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you are. Kevin.
So I'll tell you about that. That's not.
You pulled the ultimate Kevin this weekend.
I did, but part of what bothers me about that is that it didn't bother me. You know what I mean? Like, when it happened, I thought, oh, that's funny. And then I just put up a tweet about it, and so many people responded to that.
Right.
Like, wow, that's incredible. And I just remember thinking to myself,
should I be more concerned?
Maybe I should have been really upset.
Yeah.
I think you should keep doing what you're doing.
Okay, thank you, Jim. So we'll talk about that. We got the Bachelor in Paradise report, like we do on Tuesdays. And we have Danny Elfman. K-Rock legend in
yes.
the studio. Very excited about that as well coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Can't find my card key.
Did you pull up unusually slow on purpose?
Well, first of all, you were hardly to the full side of the driveway.
I pull over so that the next person to come in
yeah,
can
get... Yeah, your back end was like you were half in the driveway.
Oh, so you were trying to get past me
slowly.
So
I'm pulling up.
Oh, I see.
And I have to get out of the way of you, and then get swing back enough that I can reach the key card kiosk there where you swipe the card.
Right, you have to be close enough.
So I had
to get
past your back end, which was sort of half-assed in the driveway still, and then get around whoever this jackhole is who's sitting in the middle of the driveway to get around to get to the key card kiosk.
I see.
And at the time, I didn't exactly recognize your car. It was dark, and you were driving your Mafia,
right.
Black Mafia SUV.
Right.
And so I was kind of looking in the window also to see, is this a friendly... Is this
right.
Who knows who's
yeah, who
trying
knows?
To wait for someone for this gate to open? Mm-hmm. Then they're going to skirt inside.
Right.
I don't know who this guy
is.
Oh,
so it wasn't disappointment?
No, it was a mixture of who is this guy and why is his back end my way?
Yeah. Why can't he get out of the way?
So I was angry at that guy before I ever saw it was you.
I see. Okay.
And then I saw it was you and I was like, oh. Really?
Right. See, that's the look I saw. The yeah. Oh no, really?
Well,
Dad
come
is disappointed.
On,
come on! I don't want to disappoint people before we even start the show.
You're not disappointed. You're just in everybody's way. You're already. You're already a speed bump in everyone else's morning. I don't care. Your morning went to S in a handbasket,
right?
But how about not getting in the way of other people?
Well, I'll make a note.
No, don't make a note. Tattoo it on your forehead.
Highlights of the Comedy Central roast of Rob Lowe coming up next right now. Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
It's Tuesday morning.
Yes, it is.
And usually it's on Mondays when we take a look at the box office, but because of the holiday weekend, we're doing it today. Don't Breathe once again.
Yay!
Continue to dominate what was basically a very weak box office over Labor Day weekend. Not a lot of people in theaters. $19.2 million made Don't Breathe number one at the box office. Suicide Squad came in at number two with $12.8 million. Then Pete's Dragon. I said to my little girl over the weekend, I said, honey, you want to go see a movie about a boy who's got a pet dragon? No.
So
we did not check out Pete's Dragon this weekend.
She was disappointed in you.
She
like
was.
You were
I was
in
like,
me.
Hey, come on, let's go see Pete's Dragon. He's a big, cuddly, furry dragon. Everybody loves dragons, right? No. Kubo and the Two Strings was fourth at the box office. Sausage Party was fifth. Then War Dogs, Bad Moms, The Light Between Oceans debuted to $5.9 million to make it number eight. A lot of people rushing out to see the abandoned baby in a lifeboat movie. Can't imagine why. Sounds like a good time.
It does sound fun.
Hell or High Water was ninth. Mechanic Resurrection came in at number 10. Let me see if I can find Yoga Hosers in the top 10 box office anywhere. Oh, look at that. No. Didn't register. It's not a blip. There's no blip.
I'm
just outside.
I don't think it's even outside. I think Yoga Hosers is what Kevin was this morning, where it's kind of pulled to the side of the driveway of the box office and it forgot its key card and can't get into the box office list.
Well, I will say that the other two people in my theater didn't necessarily add much to that total.
Imagine my shock and genuine surprise. When Kevin tweeted that he actually went to see my movie this week.
Why?
It's impressive.
It's because.
Why? You have a movie.
Right?
Kevin Smith has a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I not go?
It's not exactly a big budget blockbuster with a lot of louds and things. It didn't seem like the kind of film that you would go to.
Right, but I like nonsense.
Well, you got plenty of that in Yoga Hosers.
There was plenty of that.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
There was no weak stuff. It's just nonsense.
Jeez, Moz.
Come on, Moz, get it right. Well, I thank you, Kevin, for
it was nonsense
for adding to the total.
Of course.
I thought of you and I had a sausage at a barbecue. I'm like, hey, this could be a Nazi.
That was the extent of it?
Yeah.
Kevin went to a
movie theater to see my movie. Very busy. I will see it.
There was some texting going around about, hey, who's going to go see Yoga Hosers? And it, you know, it ended up not being everyone from here.
Oh, there was talk?
There was some.
No, I didn't know there was chatter.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you went. That's all that matters.
I did tell you.
Yeah. I don't think Bean went.
No.
No. Although, after I tweeted about you, he tweeted out, oh, hey, is it available on demand? Because then maybe I saw it.
Maybe.
Douche. I'm glad he's dead.
I don't think he's dead.
He's not?
No, he's...
Rest in peace.
He's very much alive.
Imagine my disappointment. Hey, remember Danny Mathers? Does that name ring a bell? Danny Mathers?
Yes.
She was the former Playboy Playmate who took that photo of that poor woman naked in the gym bathroom last July and then...
Guilty!
then posted it online with the caption, "If I can't unsee this, then you can't either." Awful whore. Well, the good news is the Los Angeles Police Department has discovered the identity of the woman who was indeed photographed.
Oh, wow.
She is a 70-something woman.
Oh, good Lord.
No.
And they have had a conversation with her, and she said she wants Danny Matthews prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law and is willing to testify in court.
Wow.
That means she could actually do some jail time over all this, which would be awesome. Wow. So I bet she'd be very popular in the female prison population.
Yeah, no kidding.
Danny Matthews. So we'll follow the story and see what happens, but she's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Chad Coleman. He was Tyrese on The Walking Dead, 42 years old today. Idris Elba, 44 years old. Roger Waters, bassist and lead singer for the legendary band Pink Floyd, 73 today. And the Cranberry singer, Dolores O'Riordan. Remember Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries?
Sure.
Zombie, zombie, zombie.
Wow.
Remember her?
Yes, but less
not from,
now.
Not from that.
Come on. Zombie.
Right.
Zombie.
Right.
Zombie. She tells you she was caught in a bear trap. You remember Dolores O'Riordan?
Yes, I do.
You sure you remember her?
Less and less every time you sing it.
Do you have to let it linger? Remember that song?
Sure.
You're wrapped around my finger. You have to let it linger.
I think.
Dolores O'Riordan.
Yes,
the Cranberries.
Yes, the Cranberries.
You guys don't remember Dolores O'Riordan?
We do.
She sang that zombie song. Zombie, zombie. Nothing?
You had me and she sang that zombie song,
and then I
lost it when you started singing.
I may have over-explained things. She's 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up in a minute like we do on Mondays since it's the first day of the work week. First, Comedy Central's roast of Rob Lowe was on last night. And there were a lot of people that were on the stage, and they basically just mock Rob Lowe. And these roasts, I just want to give this warning up front. Offensive is the goal.
Right.
That's what they're trying to accomplish. So if you're easily offended and you're sitting there next to your computer ready to get on social media and tell us how bad this stuff is, maybe just tune out for a couple of minutes because that's what the roast is about. If you're easily offended, perhaps maybe this isn't for you. But it was for me because I love offensive.
Okay.
So the Comedy Central roast is on. It's 2 hours long. It's hosted by David Spade.
Welcome to the Comedy Central roast of Rob Lowe. That's right. We're here to honor one of the biggest stars of 1987. With some of the biggest stars of 1984. Ralph Macchio's here.
Another one of the people that were there.
Ralph Macchio?
Was Ralph Macchio.
The Karate Kid?
Yes. From what year was The Karate Kid?
85?
Right.
Really?
Yes. So he was one of the people that were there as well.
Okay. Ralph's a great guy. I drove over here with him. Gave him 5 stars. Many of you know Rob from Parks and Rec. A lot of you know him from The West Wing. A couple people know him from Grindr. And if you swiped right, you met him in person 10 minutes later. It's not easy being Rob. He said being so handsome made it difficult for him to find meaningful roles. I wanted to ask Brad Pitt about that, but he was too busy acting in meaningful roles.
Not bad, right?
Right.
So,
kind of easing you in.
Yes, exactly.
Point.
So David Spade hosted. Rob Riggle was one of the people on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Glaser.
Oh, wow.
Who we love was up there. Jeff Ross was up there dressed like Prince. Ann Coulter was up there. Ann Coulter, far right politically.
Mm-hmm.
And just everyone hated her. And openly.
I know she had a book coming out. Would that be the only reason she'd subject herself to? Okay.
And she brought the book and she put it on the podium so that she could. And then she talked all about voting for Donald Trump.
Oh, dear.
And that didn't necessarily go over with the whole crowd.
Not with that crowd, no.
Including Rob Riggle.
What else we got? Holy shit! Ann Coulter is here, which can mean only one thing. Someone must have said her name 3 times. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice! Karate Kid 2 is the worst sequel since World War II. And Pat Morita had to suffer through both. Wax on, wax off. Nikki Glaser has no idea what I'm talking about right now because, one, she only watches porn, and two, she's never waxed in her life. Harry!
Okay, now.
Oh, my God.
Now, I had to beep a lot of that.
Wait.
But Rob does it. He's not happy with just that punchline, so he starts a chant of that.
Big Harry! Big Harry! Big Harry!
Wow.
I've never seen anything on TV like that before. I mean, that was really great. I mean, sort of, in a very offensive way. So why is Jewel there? I'm not quite sure. But Jewel stepped up to the microphone, and she took on Ann Coulter, who everybody, of course, was taking on, in maybe one of the funniest ways.
I do want to say, first of all, as a feminist, I can't support everything that's being said up here tonight. But as somebody that hates Ann Coulter, I'm delighted. So.
And then they would cut to Ann Coulter, who, I mean, I hate to make fun of her looks, but this is not her best time period in life. Let's just put it that
way.
She's skeletal, and she's
a very thin woman and has very sharp features.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of joy coming out of her.
Okay.
And you can tell every time they cut to her, she was just sort of sitting there scowling.
Yeah.
So that happened, and everybody took a shot at her.
Was she at least trying to, like, feign that she was?
No.
Okay.
No, you would think that, because most people laugh at whatever jokes are at their expense.
So you can look like you can take it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not so
I don't
much her.
Know. I'm not positive her face can move.
Oh.
You know what
okay.
I mean? Just,
that might be it.
It sort of looked like Botox, and she was unable to show emotion. Either that or she was unable to show emotion.
Okay.
One of the two. Peyton Manning was there.
Huh.
Peyton Manning.
Sure.
So he starts talking about Rob Lowe.
5 years ago, ESPN NFL insider Rob Lowe here tweeted out to the entire world that I was retiring from football. Not 5 months ago when I actually did retire, but 5 years ago, Soda Pop Curtis tweeted that I was done. Finished. I mean, Rob, I never tried to ruin your big moments. I didn't tell people when the Grinder got canceled, or when Dr. Vegas got canceled, or when Lion's Den got canceled, or when Moonbeam City got canceled, or when your DirecTV commercials got canceled. And heck, man, if they ever stop casting you in sitcoms, just look on the bright side. You tried to take the air out of my retirement announcement so fast, you can probably get a job as Tom Brady's ball boy.
Yeah. That was just for you, Allie. I pulled that joke just for you.
I didn't enjoy it.
Because Tom Brady's...
I didn't like it.
Ball boy.
Okay.
Because...
Yeah, I got it.
Comedian Nikki Glaser was there, and she's awesome.
She is a savage.
Yes, she is. So how do you take on Jewel? Jewel, who hasn't even...
the sweetest.
She hasn't even been in the news for the longest time.
No.
And she's so sweet and so nice. And Nikki Glaser got up and pointed out really what's most obvious.
Jewel is here. Or as I call her, Trailer Swift. Jewel, I do not want to badmouth you since God already did. No. Cute. I feel like your teeth are like the Spice Girls, you know, they're all different colors and they're like doing their own thing. So that's fun.
How good was she?
Oh, how was Jewel taking it? Was she?
She was laughing.
Okay.
Yeah, she was fine. Everybody there was fine except for Ann Coulter,
okay.
And who may have been enjoying it, but she didn't tell
her
face.
We just have no way to tell.
Right.
Okay.
So now Nikki Glaser talks about Peyton Manning.
You're like the Tom Brady of being in commercials, you know, like the greatest. Like, he's the greatest, right? So, and without Fuhrer ado, Ann Coulter, the only person you will ever make happy is the Mexican who digs your grave.
Oh.
How?
My God.
How crazy is that?
Savage.
Yes. And then she turned to Rob Lowe, and what you need to know about Rob Lowe for this clip is that he had a sex scandal in 1988.
Yeah, right before the Democratic National Convention. He was stumping, I think, for Dukakis.
And he said he thought the girl was 21 at the time, but turns out she was 16.
Oops.
Yeah.
You're so f***ing hot, I can't even stand it. Rob defies age restrictions. You're f***ing Adonis. Look at you. God, I had such a crush on you when I was a little girl. If only I'd known that's when I had my best shot.
Pretty much every single person brought that up.
Yeah.
16-year-old underage.
Sure.
Although I think you were saying...
Legal in Georgia.
Legal in Georgia.
Age of consent, sure.
And then Rob Lowe got up. And you always wonder, like, what's the person who's going to be made fun of this entire time? How's he going to do? And he did pretty well as he took on Peyton Manning and Ann Coulter and Jimmy Carr.
Oh, yeah. British
comedian.
Comic, yeah.
And Jeff Ross and a whole bunch of other stuff. And he, 26 years ago, got sober. Based on an event. And so he addresses all of those people and all of that in this recap.
Peyton Manning is a two-time Super Bowl champion and a certain Hall of Famer, but it didn't give him a big head. That came from years of inbreeding. Peyton's here tonight to show Zika babies it could really be much worse.
Oh, my God!
Zika babies, it could be worse. That's why I say this is the most offensive show. And if you have a chance to catch it, I'm sure they'll replay it. It's great.
Sure.
It's 56 days to Halloween, but I see that Ann Coulter's already in her skeleton costume. Jimmy Carr, born to Irish Catholic parents, raised Catholic. Jimmy first knew he was funny at age 9.
Okay, now I'm not able to tell you the punchline, but I'm going to give you as much as I can.
Uh-oh.
He first realized he was funny at age 9. And he grew up Irish Catholic.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
When he made his priest laugh so hard that...
I don't want to know it. I don't think so.
I'm going to tell you during the commercials.
Okay.
Because I think you do want to know it.
I've been fortunate enough to have been a 5-time honoree in People Magazine's 50 Most Beautiful People. But it should also be noted that Jeff Ross is also a 5-time honoree in Fat Shit Magazine's 50 Fat Shits. 26 years ago, just before I quit drinking.
Now, this is when he sort of, you know, brings it down and gets real and talks to people from his heart.
I'd been nominated for my 4th Golden Globe. Publicly, it seemed like I was on top of the world. But privately, I had hit rock bottom. So I got sober. And that led me to this life that I'm so grateful to have today. But as I sat here tonight being constantly reminded of my shortcomings, surrounded by this cast of mutants. I'm sorry, Anne, racist mutants. It hit me. I didn't hit rock bottom 26 years ago. I hit rock bottom an hour and a half ago. How the f*** did I end up here? I think it's because I stopped drinking. Well.
Pulls out a bottle of whiskey?
No.
That ends tonight.
No.
Because it's never too late to start making good choices. Oh, and by the way, if anybody's got blow, I'll meet you in the bathroom. I'm looking at you, Peyton Manning. Thank you. Good night.
Usually on Mondays, we check in with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. But since we were off yesterday, it's Tuesday morning, but we have Harvey on the phone right now. Good morning, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
How was your weekend?
It was good. How's yours?
Very good. Thank you. What do you want to talk about today? You want to talk about Brock Turner?
I do.
Okay.
So...
this is an ugly story. Why don't explain to people just quickly, if you can, the entire story.
Jeez. Brock Turner, Stanford swimmer, convicted of sexual assault involving a girl at Stanford that he was found on top of by a trash bin. And both had been drinking. She had passed out. She had 3 times the legal limit. She was unconscious, and he was convicted of sexual assault. He says that they were doing something beforehand, but it doesn't matter. When she lost consciousness, he had to stop.
And it doesn't matter if she had 1 drink.
Well, right, but they were both binge drinking. So the idea here is you've got 2 incredibly drunk people, and the lesson is that no matter how drunk you are, when somebody loses consciousness, when you're both drunk, you still have the responsibility of a sober person. And when you don't stop, you're in trouble.
So how did he only get 6 months in jail?
Well, that's what I want to talk about. I'll tell you, I'm going to say something that's super unpopular.
Okay.
And I know that because I said this on Friday, and I'm just getting hammered for it. But I don't care.
Okay.
There is this crazy woman at Stanford, this law professor, who is trying to get him recalled. And I say a crazy woman because she is outraged that he didn't give him a longer sentence. And it's fine to be outraged at that and say, look, he should have gotten a longer sentence. But here's the thing. The judge followed the probation department report. The probation department, which didn't have a dog in the fight, evaluated the case and said this kid should get 6 months to a year. The judge gave him 6 months.
Now, why so little even from their guess?
Because you know, you're saying that, but you didn't, Kevin, you didn't sit in the courtroom.
Right.
You didn't interview the people. So I know that you're saying that, but it's like everybody wants this pound of flesh, but they don't know. Nobody knows what they're talking about because nobody sat in this trial. And I didn't either. But the fact is, the probation department came out with a recommendation. Now, maybe the probation department screwed it. Maybe the probation department should have made it a sterner sentence. But the fact that the judge followed the probation department report, and now this law professor is asking for his head and saying, how dare you? It's like this judge is not this crazy renegade judge. He followed what most judges follow, which is what the probation department does after interviewing everybody. So you may disagree with it, which is fine, but to recall the judge is just bullying. And then what's happening is you're going to get every judge in America scared now that when they sentence people, they're going to worry that you're going to have these rabid law professors that are going to be asking for the recall. And so what's going to happen is that these judges are just going to sentence to the max, whether they should or not, because they're going to be afraid they're going to get recalled.
Isn't this the same?
You're on the receiving end of that. You're not going to like it.
This is the same judge, though, that recently did a sentence for a domestic abuser. He actually delayed sentencing for him so he could go and play football at Hawaii.
Well, look, I will tell you this, that this judge, maybe he should not be reelected, but that what you just talked about there has nothing to do with the recall.
Or that he just goes very light on men that abuse and rape women.
Well,
because they're
how
athletes.
Do you explain, but how do you explain the probation report?
I think they're wrong.
Okay, maybe you're right that they're wrong, but if the judge... And first of all, Allie, you weren't in the trial. I mean,
she was. That's what a lot of people don't know.
A lot of people don't know. I was.
You didn't hear this evidence. You don't know why the probation department said what it said. You just want it because you want it. And
no,
you know,
I think a guy that was caught mid sexually assaulting somebody and then had to be chased by two guys on a bicycle. I think you deserve more than 6 months.
Okay, but what does he deserve?
I'd say 5 years.
Okay, well, the probation department says you're way off. Now, what do you do if you're a judge?
I don't know. Does he have the ability
to... Can he overrule that?
Yeah.
But Allie, you are giving a five-second conclusion about a case that took a lot longer than 5 seconds to try.
But that's what we do here, Harvey.
I'm also taking into consideration his father, everybody that enabled this kid, and then a father that said
he doesn't even like to eat steak anymore. So you're going to throw the book at the kid because of his dad?
No, I'm just thinking this whole family screwed up is what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying the guy should have gotten a hell of a lot more than 6 months.
Okay,
and the fact
fine,
that he got out after
fine.
Three
then
is a problem.
Have that discussion. But to recall a judge who follows the probation department report is absurd.
Harvey,
it's
absurd. You're a lawyer. Do you see this happen a lot?
Here's what I know is already happening. I have talked to criminal defense lawyers who are telling me that cases that would be disposed of routinely are not being disposed of anymore because judges are freaked out. That's what I know.
Okay. So they're afraid of this type of thing. So yeah,
absolutely. And it makes – look, don't elect him again. You know, just when he comes up for election, vote against him.
Do we know when that is?
But recalling means in this case, which is what everybody's talking about. They're talking about this case. This judge did something egregious. And he followed the probation department report. Again, you may disagree with it, and that's fine. And if you think he should have gotten a bigger sentence, go to the legislature, deal with it that way. But judges are supposed to have some independence, and they're supposed to look at a case fairly and not what the public wants. If they're going to do based what the public wants, why not just have a lynch mob? Let's just do lynch mobs instead of judges.
All right, I'm in on that.
Was he able to overrule, then, the probation report and give him a bigger sentence?
Yes, he could, but judges routinely you're right, but judges routinely follow it. And it's one thing to say, yes, he could have, and maybe he should have, but if he follows what the probation department report said, how do you recall a judge? That's an extreme measure. And then what you're doing, all you're doing is striking fear in judges, and all you're saying is, you know what, God help you if you don't throw the book at everybody else, because we want a pound of flesh no matter what, even though we didn't hear the case.
All right, Harvey, I know you have to go, but quickly, Britney Spears is going to start suing people that are telling lies, what she considers lies about her?
God, this seems so frivolous now, doesn't it?
It does.
It does.
We don't have to talk about it. It's on the site.
No, we can. Okay. No, it's fine. You know, it's actually kind of interesting. Apparently, In Touch is about to publish an article that she was acting erratically at the MTV Video Music Awards, and that she was speaking in a British accent to herself. And they're saying, look, we told you guys, we called In Touch and said that this is what they're saying. It's not true. I mean, it didn't happen, and we don't know where you're getting this from, but it didn't happen. In Touch apparently is saying we're going to publish this thing. So Britney's lawyer sent a letter saying, we will sue you for defamation, and we are being told, furthermore, anybody now who writes anything false about Britney Spears, they're going to sue. And they're doing it because they feel she's become a punching bag and that everybody's writing these stories about her and saying she's insane, you know, and making stuff up because everybody thinks she'll never sue because of her history. And her people are telling us, look, she has done a lot to kind of rehabilitate her life and become productive and a good parent and everything else. And she's just sick of being a punching bag. And so they're going to start, it's almost the Tom Cruise approach, where they're just going to start suing people. And I guess the idea is if people realize they're going to get sued, if they write stuff that's false, they're going to stop writing it.
All right. Thank you, Harvey. Harvey Levin, the website is TMZ.com. TMZ on Fox is Monday to Friday at 6 p.m. TMZ Live is on Fox Monday to Friday at 4 p.m. And TMZ Sports is Fox Sports 1 Monday through Friday at midnight. Harvey.
By the way, Allie, I still love you.
I love you too, Harvey, just a little less right now.
Thank you, Harvey. We appreciate your time.
See you later.
Bye now. There's a story out of Raleigh, North Carolina, about a guy whose house has been run into many, many, many times by a car.
Huh?
Has crashed into his house. Here's the news story.
Numb and helpless. That's how Carla Bernardi is feeling now that a sixth car has come plowing through his property here at the corner of New Hope and Fawn Glen Drive.
About 4:50 to be exact.
That's when he says he woke up yesterday morning to what's become an all too familiar sound.
Same thing. Drunk driver, over speeding, going up the curb and hitting the wall.
This is a sign.
All the particles from the wall came crashing to my window.
The last time we were here was when the fifth car crashed through, and that was in October.
Oh, my God.
Earlier this year, the city installed these solar lights on the curve, but Bernardi says they don't work well, and he was just telling the city about it when his house had a near miss last week, and then yesterday happened.
Six times is just enough. We're, like, definitely moving.
I like that he's finally getting around to deaf now.
After the
sixth car.
Wow.
Definitely moving. So we asked Dave, the King of Mexico, to see if we could talk to this man. And we have Carlo Bernardi on the phone from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good, thank you.
I'm Carlo Bernardi, and I can't believe so many cars come into my house.
Six total.
It's so many cars.
So many.
Why?
I think of one car. Okay, that's enough.
Right.
And then they come in the second car. I'm like, hey, what's the matter with you? How come you driving in my house? And then number three come. I'm like, oh, my Lord, I got my leave. What's happened in my house?
Right.
And then guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Number four come.
Right.
Yeah.
Crash in my house.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, okay. Four cars in
that's
the house.
It, right? It's too much, right?
That's too much for anyone
sure.
to have. I think one car too much, but a four car, it cannot ever happen again. I'm thinking to myself.
Right.
And then what do you know come next? Another car! And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe it has happened to me again. These are five times a car come mm-hmm. in my house.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay. That's got to be the last car, I'm thinking. Because
right.
how many times a car come in somebody's house?
Well, five so far.
Five so time. I think I'm saying five so far. And then, son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. I'm a city in my house. And guess what happened?
I don't know.
I'm going to get rid of the house.
Got rid of the house, right.
And now, why is six the magic number? Why now?
Now I'm going to move.
Oh, sure.
Right, but
this is so much car.
Right.
That anybody with a half a brain is saying, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Live in a house like I come all the time? No, I'm not going to live in that house.
Right, but I'm okay. saying most of us would be very traumatized by the first accident.
Yeah.
And maybe after the second accident, you go, I'm out.
Actually, at first accident, I'm like, okay. Accidents happen.
Sure.
No, you cannot control that. It just happens sometime. Second time, I'm like, now I'm really angry.
Right.
Third time, I kind of got used to
okay.
it. I'm like, okay.
You're used to it.
Yeah, another car, another day. Third car, I was okay. Fourth car, now I'm getting angry again. I'm like,
sure.
hey, what's this all about?
Sure.
I'm so upset now with the fourth car. Then the fifth car come. I'm
right.
like, ah, okay, that's just the life.
You were fine with five.
Five, I was okay.
Okay.
And now sixth car is too much for me.
Too much.
Now I'm getting a little bit upset. All the car are coming
sure.
through my house.
I can't imagine it's going to be real easy to sell this house.
Ah, that's what I think is that too. But I have a new idea.
A new idea, okay.
I'm going to sell my house to, like, a McDonald's. Make a drive-thru. Because it's got so much experience, it's a great location for a drive-thru place. I'm going to think, if you are Burger King, if you are Jack in the Box,
uh-huh.
if you are a McDonald's, hey, I don't care. You are Starbucks. I don't care whatever you have to do your business.
Right.
But you got a great location here for a drive-thru. You have so much business here.
Now, have you talked to any of those people?
I have not yet.
Okay.
I tried to call the colonel, but he don't pick up the phone.
Right.
I call a Ronald McDonald,
mm-hmm.
and some guy pick up and say, stop a car in my house. I'm not a clown from a burger place. So I made a mistake there.
Okay.
I felt bad. I bothered him.
Right.
I should not have called at 2 o'clock in the morning. I think it was a bad idea, but I had a little drink. And so then I try to call other people. There's no Burger King in the book. I look it up in the book. Hey, King, Burger. No, there's no such a thing.
Okay.
There's a David the King.
Right.
Sure.
There's an Alan the King.
But you, I hope you didn't call either.
There's a Stephen the King.
Right.
Wow.
There's a Larry a King.
Right.
But there's an old Burger a King.
Right.
How am I going to find somebody by my house? How am I going to do that?
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh,
oh
Carlo,
no.
Not again.
Seven?
Son of a bitch.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52. Coming up just after the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Brad Meltzer, who is an award-winning author. He's also an advisor for the CIA, by the way.
He's like the man of mystery.
Yeah.
Something's going on there.
Something nefarious?
Yeah, he's like Black Ops or something. Oh, I write children's books. And then he like takes somebody out with a silencer at his hotel when he's on a book tour or something. He's an agent. He's a spook.
Plus, we're going to
say CIA term.
Is it?
Everyone, just close your eyes. Everybody's all wide-eyed. Oh, what'd you say? It's a CIA term.
Okay.
For an undercover operative.
Sure, of course.
Ugh,
we all knew that.
You're the worst.
Plus, you drive Uber and maybe
no, I don't.
Bad things happen to you.
You do.
This weekend.
You.
So we're going to take.
Bad things happen to you as a passenger of Uber.
We're going to take calls on that coming up in the next half hour as well. Right now, Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
Usually we do this on a Monday, but because of the long holiday weekend, we are looking at the box office on a Tuesday. Don't Breathe was number one at the box office, $19.2 million.
You are all going to die tonight.
Yeah, right?
That was so good.
You messed with the wrong guy.
You know that, why that was so good? It was a really scary movie, but it was there was no supernatural. There weren't just doors closing and lights coming on and stuff.
There's one angry blind dude. Yes. That's all there was.
And a turkey baster.
It was really good.
Yep.
And a turkey baster that you don't want to know about.
Suicide Squad was second with $12.8 million. Pete's Dragon, Kubo and the Two Strings and Sausage Party were the top five movies at the box office. War Dogs. Bad Moms, The Light Between Oceans debuted with $5.9 million. That only made it number 8 this weekend. Hell or High Water was 9th, and Mechanic Resurrection, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office. If you are saying, hey, wait a minute, didn't Yoga Hosers come out this past weekend? You're right. And if you're saying, hey, it didn't show up in the top 10 movies at the box office, you're right again. And for those of you who went, I appreciate it, and as Kevin Smith would say, it was a nice chance to spend some time alone over the holiday weekend. It was to go to see Yoga Hosers. And you could stretch out. You had a lot of room in the theater. You could kick your feet up. No one bothered you. You could probably text. You could probably call somebody during the film, and nobody would complain. It was everybody had their own private screening this weekend, and you're welcome.
It's a cool way to do it. You guys are really thoughtful.
Well, that's what we want to treat our fans right, so we made sure that everyone had their own private screening if you went to see the movie this weekend. Kevin went.
So I should be upset that there were two other people in my screening?
Oh, you should have tossed them out, Kevin. That was just for you. That was a private screening for you.
I didn't realize that.
Was there much cheering going on in your theater from the other people? Was there
from the other two people?
Yes. Did you guys do the wave?
No.
Was there a beach ball being batted around?
No, it wasn't that kind of thing.
I was hoping for more of a party atmosphere.
Nope.
It did not work out that way. Speaking of Kevin Smith and me, yeah, that's right. You may not want to see us in the movies, but how about live? This Friday, we're bringing Hollywood Babylon back to the Improv on Melrose. Late show, 10 p.m.
No way. No way.
Kevin Smith and I, we'll talk. We'll talk Yoga Hosers.
No way. No way. Get real.
Successful opening weekend. And then we'll move on to other things. We have a good time.
I'm sorry, did you say successful opening weekend?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Come on now.
Just clarifying.
Did you enjoy yourself?
I did.
See? That's all that matters.
Here's the
thing. One person at a time. That's how we're changing the world.
Here's the thing. People who are critics that take that movie seriously and try to judge it seriously.
Insane, right?
That's crazy
to do that.
It's clearly a movie that's meant to be nonsense.
Right. It's a live-action cartoon. It's just silly.
It was good on that level.
There you go.
And that's what I expected. I didn't get high like you suggested. Maybe
Kevin.
That would have helped. It might have helped.
He told you
I know,
to get
he did.
High.
But
I
completely missed
of all people, I didn't really need it. I enjoyed it.
All right.
Of all people.
Kevin's kind of high all the time. Just his own natural brain chemistry.
Well, it's that, and it's also that my track record of the movies that I like is not necessarily exemplary.
Yeah, it was your sweet spot.
Right, exactly.
True. That 22% of Rotten Tomatoes was calling to Kevin. He said, that's for me. Is everybody okay about tonight's finale? You going to be able to...
Tonight's finale manage? Of...
Tonight's the last episode of Rizzoli and Isles. So I'm sure a lot of people are having viewing parties tonight to celebrate the end of Rizzoli and Isles.
For people in our audience who aren't sure what that is.
Rizzoli and Isles.
Right.
Sure.
Rizzoli and Isles.
I, for one, will miss it.
Right?
Sure.
What's it about, Allie?
This guy that invented a specific kind of spaghetti.
Nope.
Called Rizzoli.
Nope.
Oh.
Rizzoli and Isles are two female cops.
Yes. Who also invented spaghetti.
They did not invent any pasta. They are just cops. Rizzoli and Isles. 7 seasons on the air.
7 seasons.
Have you ever seen an episode of Rizzoli and Isles?
Where is it?
I want to say...
That's weird.
TNT?
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah, I think it's
really?
TNT.
7 seasons.
Yeah. 7 seasons.
TNT.
TNT. Dynamite. yeah, tonight is the series finale. So.
Oh, Angie Harmon.
Yeah.
Really?
And Sasha Alexander, I believe, played either Rizzoli or Isles. I don't
know.
I have no idea. Reminded me of a bit I did in Family Guy, where they do one of the cutaways, and I'm playing the husband of one of the actresses in Rizzoli and Isles. And she said, hey, you want to have some sexy role play tonight? He's like, yeah, okay. He's like, all right, pretend I'm the character from my TV show. And the husband's like, okay, you are sure one of the women who are fighting crime on that. She's like, you don't know which one I play, do you? Yeah. So, Godspeed, Rizzoli and Isles.
I'm surprised that made it seven seasons.
Yeah, I am too, but apparently it did.
It's about the only female cop in Boston's homicide division. Yeah. How do I not know this
right?
show?
Right?
I apologize, Rizzoli.
And/or Isles.
And/or.
AMC has canceled David Schwimmer's series Feed the Beast after its first season. It was about a couple of best friends who open a Greek diner in the Bronx.
Come on!
It was on! No.
It was on
television.
Really? This one I know because it was on AMC, so when you're watching The Walking Dead or one of those other shows, you see the ads. And every time I would think, that looks terrible.
David Schwimmer feeds the beast on
it's
AMC.
It's really hard to have a restaurant, and he yells a lot.
How are you gonna feed people grits in the Bronx? Probably not what they're serving, but anyway. Anyway, if you love that show, you're sad because I got canceled. Today's celebrity birthdays, Chad Coleman, Tyrese from The Walking Dead, speaking of AMC, 42 years old today. Idris Elba turns 44. Roger Waters, singer and bassist for the legendary band Pink Floyd, is 73 today. And the lead singer of a little band I like to call The Cranberries, Dolores O'Riordan.
Wait, that's what you were singing
yes,
last hour?
Zombie!
You were singing that song?
You know, the Cranberries and I go way back.
Do you?
Yes. Because amongst my many other successful performances, like Yoga Hosers this weekend,
right.
I was also a semi-regular on Charmed, you know.
Okay.
Charmed, the very successful TV series featuring
those people?
Holly Combs. And Shannon Doherty and other nice ladies. And so they had a nightclub there called the P3. The three sisters who are witches also opened up a nightclub.
Like you do.
Like witches do.
Right.
Witches love nightclubs.
That's right. Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that. And so they had an MC at the club who would introduce the big acts at the club.
And that was you.
And that was me.
How about that?
So you may remember me from some of my many famous scenes in Charmed. Like... Ladies and gentlemen, Dishwalla. That was one of my favorite episodes. Uh-huh. And another episode you may remember is, ladies and gentlemen, The Cranberries. And then they would do that.
I feel like people would recognize that song had you sung that last hour.
That's what I did sing, and people loved it. Oh, she's 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, we do Book Tuesdays here on
sure.
the Kevin and Bean Show.
Tuesday. It's our book club.
We always like to highlight books that we're reading,
yes.
we're currently into.
And because of Kevin, we usually get books for kids. So Kevin can read them and look at the pictures and really appreciate what we have to offer.
Which is what we're about to talk about with author Brad Meltzer.
Yes.
Brad, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for your time today.
I love you guys.
Brad, you are a best-selling author of... all kinds of work, advice books and nonfiction and fiction, and you've written comic books. And yet this series of books for kids about ordinary people change the world, that's the series. This has been, is it fair to say, maybe one of your most successful projects?
It's really, these books are my heart in book form. And as you know, they started because I was tired of my kids looking at reality TV stars and loudmouth athletes and thinking that they're heroes. And I was like, I have so many better heroes for them from history. So we started with I Am Amelia Earhart. We did I Am Abraham Lincoln. And with I Am George Washington and I Am Jane Goodall, we actually reached, I can tell you today, the million book mark, which is my family has bought a crap load of books.
You know what I learned? I learned that George Washington liked to dance, and he was good at it. I learned that from Brad.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes. How do you?
Yeah, I know.
How do you come across that information? George Washington liked to dance, and he was good at it.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's the thing is that when I do these books, we always show you when they're famous. You'll see them in the Revolutionary War and be president. But my kids have no reference point for that. So we always start the book showing them as kids. So we started with George Washington loved to dance. And you know what? He wasn't a crazy great student. He was even just an okay athlete. He liked to swim and he liked to go fishing like most kids. And in school, he was good at math, but he was a terrible, terrible speller. My son is a terrible speller. My daughter loves to dance. Suddenly they're like, oh, Dad, he's like us. And now they're interested and now they're listening. And all you got to do is just look for that stuff. But people, you know, always just want to focus on, hey, he's the dead guy on the dollar bill.
Yeah, Brad, I have a six-year-old daughter, and she is just in love with your books. That's her favorite bedtime reading. And I've noticed as we read, for example, the Jane Goodall book, the new book that you have out, there's a moment where Jane loves all animals. And, you know, of course, she becomes famous for working with chimpanzees. But she has some worms that she takes out of the garden and puts under her pillow. And it's those moments where kids can see themselves in these heroes. I think that's the most inspiring.
Yeah, no, and that's the goal. You know, what I always say is these aren't the stories of famous people. This is what we're all capable of on our very best days. And when your daughter sees and, you know, goes through I Am Jane Goodall and sees, oh, my gosh, she loves animals like me, you know, now she's in. And now we can teach her the moral lesson we want to, right? Jane Goodall was there because everyone taught her there was a certain way to do things.
Right.
There's a certain way you study. There's a certain thing a girl should act in a certain way. And Jane Goodall stands for the idea that, like, you know what? You don't need to do things a certain way. You can push forward with what you love. And in her case, it was loving animals and treating, you know, people back then thought animals were stupid and useless, and you should never name them when you study them. You should give them numbers because that's all they deserve. And Jane Goodall would see these chimpanzees in the jungle and say, wait, they're holding hands. They're using tools. They're hugging. They have feelings. And she said, you know, forget the certain way a girl should act or a scientist should act. We're going to do it a new way. And instead of trusting everyone else, she trusted her gut. And I want my daughter to learn that lesson. I want your daughter to learn that lesson. And that's what the book is there for.
Talking to Brad Meltzer, who is, by the way, incredibly smart. You're an advisor for the CIA. I think Ralph said you're a hitman a little bit earlier today.
Ralph knows all my secrets. I mean, how crazy is that, though? I got a call from the Department of Homeland Security asking me to come in and brainstorm different ways that terrorists can attack the United States. And my first thought is, if they're calling me, we have bigger problems than anybody.
No, it's wrong with my theory, Brad, that you're actually a hitman for the CIA, and they send you on these little book tours for your little kids' books, and then while you're out on the road, someone gets taken out.
Double tap.
That's right.
That's like basically the plot in the House of Secrets, right? That's the thing is, it's not. I'm not even joking. Like, I went to a private lunch at the White House in the president's private dining room, had the first lady. I mean, it was... Former first lady, you know, was there. I was like, and I walked in and I walked out and no one looked twice at me. And why? Because basically I'm that guy who writes those books people like. And I was like, you know what? I'm the perfect spy.
Yes.
I'm the perfect spy.
So you are a killer?
100%. You know what I love? Here's what I love is now all of you are going like, is he really a spy?
Yes.
We don't know.
Because you sure could be.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Here's the real secret news, which I'm not supposed to say, but I'll tell you a little bit of it. We should talk probably tomorrow or the next day. We're going to reveal, and I can't say it. I tried to see if we can get it out early. There's going to be – this has nothing to do with my books.
Okay.
But we're going to reveal some national news late tonight, and I promise you we should talk again because it's going to go exactly to what you were just talking about.
Why don't you perhaps just give us a little bit more info on that now?
I wish. But you know what? Someone would come and kill me.
What is happening?
This went very dark from Jane Goodall and the monkeys to Brad's life's in danger.
Let's talk about your children again. Go ahead.
Well, no, I would like to bring up, though, that it seems like people who are as intelligent as you have trouble sort of dumbing it down for the average reader, let alone making it accessible to kids. How have you been able to do that?
The funny part is like, I may be sneaky. I'm not that smart, right? Like, I write, everyone's like, how do you write for kids? I'm like, I write for myself. That's really it. It's Kevin, why I write, you know, like the kids are smart. And when you tell them boring stories about history, in 1865, the Civil War, they don't care. And I don't care and you don't care. But if I tell you that Amelia Earhart built a homemade roller coaster in her backyard when she was 7 years old, or that Rosa Parks got in a fight when she was a little girl with a boy who pushed her over on roller skates, or you find out that Jane Goodall put worms under a pillow, or that George Washington he was so wild, he used to copy a book of virtues as a boy because he wanted to learn better penmanship and also how to be a good man. And the great part was is these virtues were like, don't bite your nails. When you talk to someone, don't stand close to them because you'll spit on them. Like, clearly these were great problems back then. But suddenly, like, my kids are like, hey, tell me more about that person because that person sounds suddenly interesting. So all I do is just tell the interesting stories, and then we have this amazing artist, and Ralph knows the power of a good artist. Like Chris Heliopoulos, He has this, his art style is a mix between Calvin and Hobbes and Charlie Brown and Peanuts. And suddenly, that's why kids are going, I want that. The only way you're going to get them off their phone is if you give them something that's better. And that's thankfully what these books have been for us, is really an antidote. You know, in George Washington, I said, look at politicians today. All we have are politicians. You know what I want to teach my kids about? What a leader is. I want my sons to learn what it means to be a leader. I want my daughter to learn what it means to be a leader. And when you read I Am George Washington, what's the message? It says leadership isn't about being in charge. It's about taking care of those in your charge.
Sit down.
Donald Trump not happy with you.
Yeah, Brad's new book, I Am Donald Trump, I think will be not coming out anytime soon.
Brad, I get most of my history from Drunk History, but now I'm going to add your books. I feel like I'm going to add your books.
It's kind of the same.
Brad, we appreciate you taking the time again. The books are I Am George Washington and I Am Jane Goodall. They are available today. And Brad, thanks for coming on the show with us.
Okay, thanks so much. Love you guys.
Appreciate it. An hour from right now, we are going to talk to the great Danny Elfman. Very excited about that. He's coming into the studio. We also have the Bachelor in Paradise report. I did something over the weekend that was, maybe I just wasn't paying close enough attention.
Uh-huh.
And then I tweeted it, and the response that I got was crazy.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Shocking. What did you do?
Well, I had to drop my car off to get work done, so I called an Uber.
Okay.
And it said the guy's name, as sure. It does, and it says it's a black BMW. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, fine. So I walk outside, mm-hmm. and there's a black BMW waiting there.
Oh.
So I thought, well, that's great. He's already here. This is good. This is maybe 5 minutes later.
Okay.
Usually it takes, you know, a little bit longer, but he's there. So I walk up, and I open the back door, and I get in the car. And the guy turns around and goes, what are you doing? Now, that's never a good sign.
No.
And a little annoyed, uh-huh. a little afraid.
Okay.
And I felt like maybe he was going to beat me up.
Right.
So I said, Uber?
Oh, no.
And he said, while I'm sitting in his car, I'm not an Uber driver.
Yay! Get out. Oh, my God, Kevin.
And I said, I'm so sorry. And I just got out. Now, to me, I found it funny.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't. Wasn't that crazy?
It didn't concern you at all that you just assumed the first car you saw?
I mean, it wasn't ideal. I did make a mental note, hey, perhaps ask the guy or maybe look for the sticker in
look
the window.
Look for the you in the window?
Yeah, I didn't really. I just assumed because it said black BMW that car was there. It was him.
I'm not going to lie. I'm at least happy to know it was the same make of car.
It was, yes.
Okay.
So good. I got out of his car and then about 30, 40 seconds later, the real guy pulled in,
right.
And I gave him a questioning like crazy. Uber? Yeah, what's your name? Yeah, last name. How long have you been driving Uber? So, like, it was his fault. Like,
right.
It was the first guy's fault.
Right.
So, no, but people were like, how are you still alive?
Yeah.
And it was crazy.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear about it on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy, the response that I got from that. And then I started thinking, well, should I be more worried that happened to me? Because it didn't seem like it was that big a deal.
You hopped in a complete stranger's car.
I did.
Yeah.
I mean, that happened.
Right.
But I'm not really a threatening type guy.
No, but neither was Ted Bundy.
Okay. All
just
right.
Saying.
I mean, I could accept that. But it was shocking when he said, what are you doing? I mean, I did think, like, what do you mean? What am I? I was mad at him for a second. What do you mean? What am I doing?
You're annoyed at the driver.
I'm here to get driven home. So
right.
let's get on it.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't the Uber driver.
Oh, I wish we could talk to this guy.
I'm so happy that we can't. I didn't stick around to get a phone number. I just got out of his car. You know that feeling, that weird warm feeling that comes over your body when you realize
just so embarrassed.
You're in trouble.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're embarrassed and you might be in trouble and you don't know how bad this is going to get. I had that whole feeling.
Kevin, God damn it.
I just got out of the car pretty much as quickly as I could.
Yeah.
And that got me to thinking that that must happen a lot. I would assume that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that happens a lot.
Absolutely.
A couple of people did tweet me and say, I'm so happy that that happened to you because mm-hmm. I did the same thing. It's just, it's not dumb, everyone. It's just that maybe you're not paying close enough attention at that moment.
Yeah. It's pretty dumb, too.
It's, I mean, it's
also the dumbness.
It's also dumb. It's also pretty dumb. But I learned my lesson for sure. But I thought if you drive Uber or Lyft even or even a cab, I can't imagine that stuff like that doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah.
In Uber, it's very specific because they know who's supposed to get in their car.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that I, the guy whose car I got in knew that no one was supposed to get in his car.
Right.
And yet I did. So we're going to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you're an Uber driver and you've had some wild experiences that maybe you weren't expecting, the number is 1-800-520-1067. Beer Mug is here. He's our experienced Uber driver.
Yeah, as you guys know, I was an Uber driver for a very, very long time.
How long?
Oh, we're talking decades.
Yeah,
decades.
Uber's been around about 5 years.
Yeah, that's what I meant, five years.
How many rides total?
I would say...
Five?
Like 5 to 10.
I'd say 60.
Okay.
And minus 30.
And right. What happened to you when you were driving
my
Uber?
My first day ever as an Uber driver, everything was going great. I was so excited, so gung-ho. I had great passengers, great trips, great fares. And I was just about to wind down for the night, just about to shut off my app until I got one more call. I was like, all right, I'll take it. I had $150 in 3 hours. This is great. Take the call. Pull up to a dark neighborhood. I hear two girls screaming at each other. I said, this is a good start. They get in my car. One of the girls is talking my ear off. Hey, everything
I hate
going?
It when people talk your ear off. Don't you, Beer Mug?
No. I don't know what you're talking about, Kevin. And everything's going fine. 5 minutes to their destination. Everything gets quiet. And all of a sudden, the girl on the passenger side in the back seat just starts vomiting all over my brand new car.
Yeah,
that was my first day as an Uber driver.
And last, oddly enough.
I did a couple more after that.
How much did it cost you to clean that out?
It was $200, which thankfully Uber, they charged the passenger. I just had to take pictures and report it. And they stick up for their drivers to that point. But the vomit smell never sort of came out. I mean, I had Allie sit in it to do a couple tests.
Yeah, my nose. Yeah. It's helpful sometimes.
And that was
my... always there?
A little bit.
A little bit. By the way, a little bit of vomit is not a little thing. I mean, I think that's pretty bad.
It's a strong smell.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with Alex, who's calling us from Southgate. Hi, Alex.
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Thank you. You were an Uber driver?
No. I work security at a hospital in Beverly Hills, let's say. I'm working security. This guy rolls up to my job and he goes, "Hey guys, can you help me out? I got these ladies that have been in my car for over an hour." Like, okay, what's the big deal? He's like, "I'm an Uber driver, and these ladies are in my car. I can't get them out. I've been trying to get them out." I'm like, "Dude, go to the cops." He's all like, "No, the cops sent me over here. That's why I'm here." I'm like, "What?"
That doesn't even make sense.
Say again?
It doesn't even make sense. So two girls were in the guy's Uber, and they wouldn't get out of the car.
Exactly. Okay. What happened is, I guess they got into the wrong car. The funny thing is, once we finally, like, when me and my partner finally coaxed them out of the car, they started vomiting.
Every story has vomit. This is great.
Right? Exactly. So we coax them out of the car. We have them waiting outside. We tell the Uber driver, take off, whatever. We have the two ladies waiting for a cab. We actually called an actual cab for them. While they're waiting, this other car pulls up trying to drop off a patient and stuff, and these two ladies try to jump into that car.
Ooh.
Wow. This is making me feel so much better about me.
No, that's not even the best part. As they're trying to get into this other vehicle, one of the ladies, her skirt just falls.
Okay, all right.
What makes it worse is she has no underwear on, so she bends over to pick up her skirt to raise it back, to pull it back up, and yeah, everyone got a...
Yeah, sure. Yeah, got a view, yeah. Hmm. Who? Let me ask you this question, Alex, because this was... My reaction was, holy crap, I'm in somebody else's car, and I couldn't have gotten out faster. I mean, I really, really was like, this guy could shoot me? I don't know, this is...
Yeah.
I'm such an idiot. I couldn't have opened the door quicker and gotten out. Why would they stay in for an hour if it was the wrong car?
These ladies were drunk off their minds. I kid you not, once we got them out of the car, they're like, "Wait, where are we? Why isn't that a cab?" We're like, "No, it's not. Get out of this guy's car. What the heck are you guys doing in there?"
Wow. All right. Well, I didn't realize we'd have a much worse story than mine. I feel so much better about myself.
Yeah, you kept your skirt on.
Thank you for the call. I didn't show anyone my goods.
No, you didn't.
All right. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We'll take your calls next. Right now, we're talking about the fact that over the weekend, I got in the wrong car. I thought it was an Uber driver that I had ordered, and it wasn't at all. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Uber?" And he said, "I'm not an Uber driver," so I got out. And I assume that this happens a lot because I assume that I'm not the only dumb person alive.
Right.
So we're taking calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Melissa, who is calling us from Los Angeles. Hi, Melissa.
Good morning, party people. How are you?
We are good. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You did this?
I did. It was some years ago. It was a group of us, like six of us. We went to Vegas, and we're waiting for our car rental. It was a Lincoln Navigator. The Lincoln pulled up. All six of us hopped in the car, and it was my turn to drive, so I wasn't as, like, you know, gone. And so I get in the car, and all six of us pile in, and I look down, and I was just like, whose coffee mug is this? And everybody look over, and they're like, it's not mine, it's not mine. And we look outside, and it was this older white couple, like, staring at the Lincoln with their eyes, like, big as dinner plates because six black people just got in their Lincoln Navigator. And we all, like, oh, my God.
How long did it take you to realize fully that that wasn't the car you were supposed to be in?
Well, it took a few seconds because everybody had to, like, hop in the car. And so I was the first one to get in. And so I'm, like, sitting here. And as soon as the sixth person, like, gets in the passenger seat, that's when I look down. And so obviously they were probably there. It probably felt like an eternity because they're like, okay, are they going to jack us? Like, what are they about to do? Like, and so, but it probably was, like, only, like, a few seconds. But we were just like, oh, my gosh. And we jumped out, and we were trying so hard to let them know, like, we're so, like, harmless, like, black people. We're not going to sit here.
Oh, no, Melissa.
Like, they looked so scared. And I told, we were, like, trying to explain to them that we had the exact same Lincoln. And, yeah, like, seconds later, our Lincoln came up. And we were just like, oh, thank goodness. Like,
I'm guessing they didn't hear a word of what you said.
They probably didn't.
I'm guessing they were just scared to death. Thank you for the call, Melissa. We appreciate it. Let's go to Andrew in Los Angeles. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. Yeah.
You were driving Uber, taxi, Lyft, what?
Well, I drive Uber. I have, like, 1,000 pickups under my belt. So
okay.
Yeah, well, for me, it was, like, late night, like 2-3 in the morning. I picked up somebody, and this guy was like, oh, can I sniff some cocaine? I'm like, by the time I was already driving, by the time I told him no, he already had it laid out in his car and had nothing to do.
So, wait, so he asked you while you were driving if he could do coke, and then before you could answer, he was already doing it?
He was already on his card and through his nose already.
Well, it was nice of him to ask.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he could have waited. He could have waited for the answer. What, Andrew? Okay, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to... Oh, wow, there's so many people that did this. This is crazy. Let's go to Gene in Los Angeles. Hi, Gene.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good, thanks. You're an Uber driver?
I'm an Uber driver. I stopped driving Uber late at night because of this story. So it's about 2 in the morning. I pick up a girl at a club. She's hammered. And she, you know, she's celebrating. Just met her brother for the first time in 5 years. So I'm driving her home to Glendale. By the time we get to her house, I look back and say, hey, we're here. You know, I figure she was passed out. She's passed out with her shirt or blouse over her head. Literally, nothing on underneath. I freak out in a panic and call the Uber crash line because I didn't know what to do.
You called the Uber crash line to tell them that there was a woman that took her top off?
Right. She's just laying in my back seat with no shirt on. It was crazy.
I say he did the right thing because what if later she's like, he took my shirt off?
Yeah, true.
Oh, so after we wake her up, like, it takes 10 minutes to wake her up. I threw my jacket over so she had some decency, right? So we wake her up. She says, oh, no, not again.
Oh, jeez.
It happens every time she wears this clingy dress.
Well, maybe don't get so drunk that you have to take clingy dress off in car. Maybe.
That's some good advice. I think that's very specific, but it's good advice. Thank you for the call, Gene. We appreciate it. Let's move on to John in Placentia. Hi, John. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was the victim of a Kevining.
I don't know that we're calling it a Kevining.
I think we are.
Come on now. All right. So what happened?
So I know I was driving the weekend before before Halloween, and I got a call to go down to downtown Fullerton, and I was getting off the off-ramp from the 91 on the harbor, and my car's all manual, and so none of my doors were locked to make it easier for people to get in, and a guy in a dress-up as Netflix jumped in my back seat at the off-ramp of the 91.
So you were you were literally on the off-ramp ready to get on the freeway, and somebody got in your car?
Literally on the off-ramp getting off of the freeway, somebody got in my car.
Yeah,
so it was very awkward, especially because I was going to pick somebody up, and so I pull up to where I'm supposed to meet these girls that I'm picking up, and he's passed out in the back seat, covered in vomit. And it's downtown Fullerton, so there's tons of cops around there, so I was luckily I was able to call some of them over to get this guy, and unfortunately I had to get the guy arrested just to get him out of my back seat. But I saw the fun night of driving ahead of me, so that was good.
Does sound fun.
I feel like more people need to lock their doors.
Yeah, that does seem like that would help. That would have stopped me from being a dumbass and getting in that guy's car. Let's go to Tim in Los Angeles. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how's it going? Hi, guys.
Hi. So you got in the wrong car, you got in the new, what happened?
Well, it wasn't me. It was my buddy. And I guess you could say he got into the right car.
Okay.
So we're out drinking, and we're all fairly drunk. And next thing I know, he goes, all right, guys, later. Or actually, I don't even know what happened to him. He just disappeared.
Right.
We assumed he got into the right Uber and then got home. Next morning, I ask him, hey, what happened? Where'd you go? Like, we're all worried about you. He's like, I don't know. Some chick was like, hey, come in. I got you. So he thought he was in the right Uber driver to get home. All he knows next is that all of a sudden the Uber driver goes, hey, I got to really call my sister. I need to make sure she's okay. She pulls into some random neighborhood. She stops the car. She gets in the back seat, tells him to take off his pants, and she performs oral on him.
What are you talking about?
I'm kidding. I don't even know how to make this up. I was just like really.
Do you think maybe your friend knew how to make it up?
No, 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 no. He's just notorious at having these stories when he's drunk.
Hmm.
It's the best stories. I don't think I've seen him countless times, and this is just one of the stories I didn't get to witness.
Does he have the phone number for that Uber driver?
No. She literally just pulled up and told him to get in. He gets in. About a mile in, she tells him that she has to make a phone call.
All right. I got it. You already told us this part of the story, and it's fantastic.
Wait, so was she even an Uber driver?
No, she's not. There's someone in San Diego going around and performing oral on random strangers, I'm assuming.
I couldn't have gotten in her car? I mean, come on.
I feel like this is,
I mean, seriously.
This is quite the story.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's do one more, and it's going to be Sarah, who's calling from Torrance. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are good. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
So my friend was pulled over just looking up directions on his phone the other night, and some girl just gets in the back of his car thinking he was the Uber driver, and he's a nice guy, so he drove her home, and she never knew that he wasn't the Uber driver.
Oh, thank God she got in his car.
Yeah, no kidding.
He said she just gets in the back and told him where to go, and he thought it was funny, so he drove home, this drunk girl, dropped her off at her house, and went back to where he needed to go.
Wow.
Whoa.
That could have ended so much worse.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, she got very lucky.
Yeah, no kidding. Not as lucky as the last guy.
No.
But
lucky just the same. Thank you for the call.
Hey! What?
Not even close.
Not. Don't put your hands up like you just did something great.
I did.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55. The Bachelor in Paradise report coming up.
The beginning of the end.
The beginning of the
end. Last night was night one of the finale, and tonight will be the big wrap-up. We'll see who gets engaged, who gets their heart broken, who leaves in joy, who leaves in tears.
That's coming up next. First, Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I want to give folks a heads up. If you want to come out and see me and Kevin Smith do our Hollywood Babylon show, this is your lucky week. Friday night, at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
Smith and I will take the stage and bring you hilarious comedy with Hollywood Babylon, and I will be very, very drunk, and Kevin will be baked. And people tell us after the show that we had a good time.
No! No!
Go to improv.com to get your tickets. Come on out and see us. Speaking of Kevin Smith, his big movie Yoga Hosers opened up this weekend that I'm lucky enough to be a part of. And I want to thank all the K-Rock listeners who sent me tweets and emails and messages saying that they checked out the movie this weekend. Kevin actually went himself.
I did.
Allie did not go. Chip did not go. Dave did not go. Christine did not go. Beer Mug did not go. Omar did not go.
But Kevin went.
But Kevin went. Bean did not go. Kevin went.
I did go.
Kevin's a guy. He's a guy. He's a pal. He's a friend. He's a good person. Everyone else can just right there.
I can't see what you're doing. Thank God.
I need that.
We didn't break the top 10 at the box office, surprisingly enough. But here is your top 10 for the long holiday weekend. Don't Breathe came in at number one with $19.2 million. What does that movie have that Yoga Hosers doesn't have? Besides an angry blind dude.
It's a well-told story.
Well?
Mm-hmm. A turkey baster?
A turkey baster?
Oh, we should put a turkey baster and a blind guy in Yoga Hosers. Would have had a mint. Would have made a mint.
It's so good in that it's not supernatural, but it's really scary.
Yeah.
It's so good that way. A lot of times the supernatural stuff, they just throw in random stuff to scare you for no reason. But this is genuinely frightening. It's really good.
Suicide Squad was second at the box office. Pete's Dragon, Kubo, and the Two Strings and Sausage Party were your top five films. Then at number six, War Dogs, Bad Moms, number seven. I've not seen that, but my wife went with some of her girlfriends, and she said she enjoyed it a lot.
Bad Moms?
Yeah.
It's made a ton of money total.
Only made $6 million this weekend.
But over $100 million, I think, since it came out.
That's nuts.
That's crazy.
A lot of bad moms out there.
Yeah, there are.
The Light Between Oceans, Between the Oceans. Debuted at number eight with $5.9 million. Hell or High Water and Mechanic Resurrection. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office. Melissa Etheridge is getting into the pot business.
All right.
She is producing cannabis products available soon for medical patients here in California. She says there will be stuff to smoke, a bomb that's good for arthritis, so you can rub pot all over yourself, oil cartridges if you like to vape, edibles, you name it. She's going to provide it for you. The name of her business, by the way, any guesses? Melissa Etheridge's new pot business?
I'm sure it's based around a song title, which I can't think of.
It's not. It involves her name.
Melissa Etheridge. No.
Etheridge Farms. It's like Pepperidge Farms.
No, right?
No.
It's just like Pepperidge Farms.
I'll accept that.
It sells cookies. Etheridge Farms sells pot. And then you can get Pepperidge Farms cookies afterwards and enjoy those
after
her pot.
Right.
So. Etheridge Farm, remember? Remember those commercials?
I do.
Yeah. And Jerry Heller has died. If you saw the movie Straight Outta Compton, you may remember the character played by Paul Giamatti in the film. Jerry Heller was NWA's ex-manager in the 70s. He was a big-time rock and roll manager for bands like The Who, Crosby, Stills and Nash, Carly Simon and others. But he struck gold when Eazy-E formed NWA with Ice Cube and Dr. Dre, and they formed a record label together called Ruthless. And then Jerry managed the group for 4 years until Ice Cube quit over royalty payments. They did not get along.
He is the founder of ISIS.
I don't think
he was.
I don't believe he was. Jerry did not like the way they portrayed him in the movie, by the way, and he sued the producers as well as Dr. Dre and Ice Cube for $110 million, claiming defamation of character.
I can imagine he didn't like it because
he didn't.
Wasn't really portrayed well.
Yeah, apparently he died on Friday while driving in Ventura County. His car smashed into a minivan after they say he probably had a massive heart attack and died before the accident.
Jeez.
Not a great way to go. Not that there's a good way to go.
How does someone so healthy...
Right? You missed that, Kevin. You were gone.
What?
Beans being perplexed at the nature of heart attacks.
How does that happen?
Who
he
is
just
it?
Played a show.
Who is it? Yeah, it was
Gabriel...
Juan Gabriel.
Yes.
Did a show, sold out show at the Forum, I guess it was?
Yes, on a Friday.
On a Friday. Saturday, had a massive heart attack at his home and died. And Beam's like, how is that possible? He just did a show. He was performing on stage, and the next day, he died. How is that even possible?
That's pretty much true of everybody that has a heart attack.
Not
right?
Like
that's the nature of the heart attack.
Yeah.
He seemed perfectly healthy, and then next thing you know, he died. That's how heart attacks work.
That's why the word attack is in there. It's right. It's a big surprise. Yeah.
Bean wants people to like be in a hospital for 6 months and in a wheelchair before they have their heart attacks. You can see it coming. He could not wrap his head around how it worked. I'm so glad he's dead. Sad. I'm so glad
he's
not.
Dead. He is rest very much peace. Alive. Rest Bean peace, is Bean. He's alive.
Rest in peace.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Chad Coleman. Tyrese from The Walking Dead is 42 years old today. Idris Elba turns 44. Roger Waters from Pink Floyd, the bassist and lead singer for that band, is 73 years old today. And all day long, we've been paying tribute to Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries, one of the few Irish rock bands that had a smash hit success a couple years back. She is 45 years old. A lot of people didn't believe me when I said I'm very close with the Cranberries. We're very tight. Cranberries and I are very close personal friends, having worked together on a show called Charmed a few years back.
Oh, yeah, you made a story up about you being on that show.
I did not make a story up, sir. And as proof positive, please sit back, relax, and enjoy my entire role as DJ from the Three P's Club from Charmed. Here is me and the Cranberries.
Folks, it's a real pleasure for me to introduce, in a one-night-only benefit for the Animal Rights Fund, the Cranberries.
Very close friends. Wow. Very close friends, the Cranberries and I. We worked together.
That was great.
Did you call each other, get together on the weekends?
Well, we're all very busy these days.
Text,
email. I'm doing stuff. And Twitter. Dolores O'Riordan, of course, is busy with her new line of juices.
Let me ask a different question.
Some new juices coming out.
Let me ask a different question. Yeah. Did you really?
I have no idea.
Cranberries,
Kevin.
I don't know. Kevin?
Did you meet her?
Juice.
Did you even meet her?
Of course, I met her.
Saying, I don't know how far the lies go.
How can I say here are the Cranberries if I hadn't met her? Who's going to be on stage when I'm saying here's the Cranberries?
I didn't say were they on there? Stage B-52s? In the same room as you. I said, did you meet them?
Of course, we hugged, we laughed, we cried, we shared so much. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We welcome to the show now, Petros Papadakis. Hey, P.
Hello, everybody. Good morning.
It's time for the Bachelor in Paradise report.
Come join us on this beautiful journey as Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis recap.
It's the Bachelor in Paradise. It's so nice. It's full of spice. It's the Bachelor in Paradise. Ralph and P make the sacrifice. Come on. Are so dumb. So Ralph and P, what's the deal? Is there anybody you want to kill?
The Bachelor in Paradise.
Last night, the beginning of the end, the first part of the big finale this week for Bachelor in Paradise, and I gotta tell you, I'm sad to see it go, but I'm happy to see all these happy couples at the end of Bachelor in Paradise. Who will remain? Who will get engaged? Who will leave in heartbreak? So many unanswered questions.
Who is happy?
Oh, P, come on.
Honestly.
Carly and Evan?
Okay, well...
Rolling around in the paint there, being all sexy with that big-boobed lady on the beach?
That's the best-looking woman I've ever seen, by the way, on the show.
They had last night a woo-woo kind of...
A BBW.
An artist who was a body painter. She would paint her body and roll around on the canvas.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And she was a large woman.
Right.
Large.
But proportionately large.
Well...
She was like a series of basketballs.
Okay.
P apparently liked what he saw last night. But I thought it was unfair, P, last night that it's the very end. It's the last week of Bachelor Paradise, and they still added a new person. They threw in Tierra last night, who really had no chance to make a mark on anyone and go forward.
The chicken lady?
The chicken lady. She loves chicken. She's a chicken enthusiast. When she was on The Bachelor, she actually brought her pet chicken with her.
But she eats chicken as well?
Sure she does.
Okay.
Don't be ridiculous.
Odd mixture, all right.
Chicken is delicious and it's healthy.
So she had no shot. And then Nick and Jen, they went on a date. And here's the thing. We know Nick doesn't find true love because he's the new bachelor. So that's kind of anticlimactic watching them on their journey, right, P?
Yeah, and the other guy that got denied, who thought he was going to be the new bachelor, the guy from West Point, the Afghanistan veteran, Luke Pell,
yes,
was very upset.
He was.
Said, something to the degree of, you know, the Bachelor people asked me to be open, and I was, but they weren't open with me.
And then there was Brett. Brett, you may remember, was the dreamy guy that Izzy saw the minute he walked into the onto the beach in Paradise, and she dumped Vinny, the good guy Vinny from Jersey, the guy everybody loved. Izzy dumped him so she could be with Brett. Here's the thing. Brett went on a date with Lauren. And
the girl with the most annoying voice on her.
Oh, her voice is ice picks through the ears. If you don't believe me, here's Lauren talking about whether she thinks she's going to get Brett's rose or not.
I'm, like, super attracted to Brett. We had such a fun day together. I want a rose. I want to stay here and get to know Brett more. And then it'll be perfect.
So Brett does like Lauren better than Izzy. Izzy is the one who dumped Vinny for Brett.
Okay.
And Brett pulls her aside and says, you know what? You and me, not so much. And what do you think Izzy's reaction is to that? Oh, I miss Vinny so much. I love Vinny. Vinny was the best. She didn't give a rat's ass about Vinny the whole time she was hanging around with Brett on the beach. The minute she gets dumped, then Vinny's the greatest thing. Oh, I made such a huge mistake.
What
Brett.
A fool I am. What a fool I've made of myself. But it's very disingenuous because, like, I mean, look, we've all gotten dumped and texted out 100 texts like Scud missiles in the first Iraq war. I mean, we've all lobbed out, at, you know, but that's private.
Right.
Everybody saw this girl get dumped, and then she turns around and lobs out the call.
She didn't mention his name once while she was hitting on Brett, but now that she has no longer a shot with him, here she is.
I fully regret my decision to say goodbye to Vinny. Like, I really, truly think that... Like, I let go of something just, like, so unbelievably amazing. It just, I don't feel good about myself. I just feel really stupid.
Because you are! Stupid.
Why does she think the only other option for love is somebody else on that TV show?
Because if they're not on The Bachelor, it doesn't count, Kevin.
It's crazy.
She hops in the car, the SUV, and she pulls out her cell phone, and sure enough, she dials up Vinny. She's going to make this a storybook ending. She's going to fly to Florida where he lives, and they're gonna reunite, and it's going to be magical. Vinny sees things differently.
I just can't be with somebody like that. For me, there's really just no coming back from what happened. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Boom.
When she called and his first words were, who's this?
Yeah. New phone, who dis?
When there's a crying woman on the other side of the line is not good. And then the best part about where her journey ended was on the side of the highway in Mexico.
Yes.
And, you know, almost throwing up and crying and being completely inconsolable. And that is not where you want your story to end.
Yeah, she had a panic attack and was proceeding to vomit on the side of the road in Mexico.
I saw like about 10 minutes of the show, and this is the part that I saw, and I just kept thinking when she was outside the car, because she was so annoying and crying and stuff, and she felt like she was going to throw up, I was like, leave her. Drive off.
You're
that would be so great.
Someone from a cartel would come by and lop her head off, Kevin? Is
no, no, just
for?
The car that she was in.
Yeah, I run out of gas all the time.
Do you?
Because I'm stupid.
Right.
And so I spend a lot of the time on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it is frightening.
Yes.
You know, you don't think about it when you're on the freeway, but when you're just standing there, those cars are going really fast. Okay, now it's no longer a road here, but now it's in Mexico.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
that's
so maybe
where
my
your story ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
A lot of people took themselves out of the game last night, like Shoshana, the Russian Bond villain.
I liked this. This was my favorite. I thought this was the most honest reaction by a hot chick that people are used that's used to just having dudes run up on her.
But this is insane. I always feel this way. Anytime anyone says this kind of thing on The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, or Bachelor in Paradise, these you just don't understand the premise that this is how you feel. Here's why Shoshana left last night.
I didn't feel like I want to do this. I don't want to go for a rose ceremony. I don't want to really talk to people or try to give the time.
Bye.
So, like, why to force myself to continue and pushing myself to be in here when I'm an adult? Like, I don't want this. I don't fight for guys. I don't fight for love.
That is... I don't want to go on rose ceremony. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to fight for love. I'm an adult. I don't want to fight for guys. You're on the wrong show then.
That's the definition of this show.
All the show is fighting other people for other people. It's all you do.
And if you weren't an adult, well, I know she's Russian, so she's probably confused, but if she wasn't an adult, what she'd be doing in Mexico would be totally illegal.
I think you're missing the point, P. I think she means emotionally she's an adult.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very different.
Because she was like, I don't know how they do it in Russia, but, you know, we don't have, like, teenage reality sex shows. We wait till people are, you know, in their 20s.
That's right. Carly and Evan, perhaps the truest couple on there. They are very tight together. However, Carly, you may remember last Bachelor in Paradise season, she got dumped by her boyfriend, Kirk, just before the final episode. So she didn't, and she was blindsided. She didn't see it coming. So now she's in the relationship with Evan, and she is a little panicky because this is the point of the show last season where she got dumped.
He's dump proof. That's why she's dating him.
Yeah.
It's because he's not going to dump her.
Yeah, he's the erectile dysfunction clinic owner, and he's never dumping anybody ever in his life. Trust me, he's going to be like a tick. He's going to just bury into her skin and never go anywhere. But Carly's still reasonably upset and concerned that it might happen. But if it does happen, she has a solution.
I don't know. I just, like, am getting panicky. If Evan did that to me, I would chop his balls off.
So that'll be that's a reasonable response.
Did she say chop his balls off?
She did indeed, yes.
Do you think that would help or hurt his erectile dysfunction?
I think it would make no difference with him personally whatsoever, one way or the other. If he was missing them or he had them, he'd be the same guy. And then perhaps the most volatile couple also facing the decision about their journey is Grant and Lace, P.
Oh.
Grant, the firefighter, of course. Lace, the insane alcoholic. They are they're a volatile couple. They're very hot and cold, these two.
Yeah, this is the guy you don't want to be a roommate with in the dorms freshman year.
Yeah.
This is a relationship that could ruin your freshman year in college, even if you're not in it.
Yes.
Now, just close to it.
Grant and Lace are a couple, so they have come up with a couple name for themselves.
Oh, great.
Can you think of what it might be? Grant and Lace? Can we put those two
Grace.
Together?
Grace.
Grace.
They're Grace. And because they've known each other for a couple of weeks, they decide to make an excellent life choice regarding their relationship.
Okay.
They're going to get matching tattoos.
What?
I see Lace and I as being permanent, so I have no problem getting a tattoo that's about us. My name's Grant, her name's Lace, so we're going to go with Grace.
Grace it is, but it's going to be really small.
But it's going to be really small, right? So no one will ever be able to read it, right? And they got Grace tattooed on the inside of their wrist to show their permanent love.
Here's the thing about that. That's never a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
No, it always works,
right.
Especially when you combine the names. Ralph, if you and I combined our name, would we be Palf or Retros?
Oh, Retros.
Retros, so
awesome.
Good.
I think you'd go with Retros. You guys need a tattoo.
I'm calling my guy.
All right. Will you accept my rose, Pete?
You know I would, but I would rather it be a daffodil.
Tonight we see who survives and who doesn't, except for Nick. We already know he doesn't. But everyone else, there may be some engagements. There may be some heartbreak. We'll have to find out tonight on Bachelor in Paradise.
And we'll be back tomorrow with the Bachelor in Paradise Report.
The Bachelor in Paradise.
It's a dead man's party. I love little girls. They make me feel so good. Won't you stay with me one more day? You really can't blame them.
Us and you will see this our town of Halloween. This is Halloween. This is Halloween.
Danny Elfman wrote all that. That's a thing that he's done, and he's written a lot other stuff. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, Danny.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Your movie Nightmare Before Christmas is one of the movies that every time it comes on, I watch it from whatever part I catch it at. If I am in the middle of it and I see it, I go, I'm going to watch the rest.
Well, thank
it's
you.
It's one of those.
Thank you.
Tell me about, when was it, 1993?
I think so. I'm bad with that stuff.
Okay. But you decided to start doing it live at the Hollywood Bowl. And I remember the first time you were talking about this, that you were frightened and scared beyond words.
Well, that was, you know, it's a spinoff, as it were, from the Elfman Burton show.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like terrifying beyond words. That was where I had an 18-year gap without singing, and I had to come out at Royal Albert Hall for the first time, and it was insane. But then it got so fun that we talked about, you know, why don't we try, just as an offshoot, actually doing Nightmare Live with live singing, because nobody had really tried that yet with a musical. They do West Side Story and things like that where you're singing to the track, but live orchestra and singing for a musical, I don't think it had been tried. So it seemed like that might be fun, just as a experiment.
So for a guy who's who pretty much you know, summed up Southern California for many, many years with Halloween, to pivot and to start doing movie soundtracks and stuff like that and start talking about how much he's interested in Christmas, I found it sort of fascinating to hear the song that you sing as Jack, where you're talking about Christmas and how amazing this weird holiday is that you've discovered.
The monsters are all missing and the nightmares can't be found. And in their place there seems to be good feeling all around. Instead of screams, I swear I can hear music in the air. The smell of cakes and pies are absolutely everywhere. The sights, the sounds, they're everywhere and all around. I've never felt so good before. This empty place inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it, oh, I want it, oh, I want it for my own. I've got to know, I've got to know. It is this place that I have found. What is this?
So he does it live, and I got to tell you, your actual your life mirrors this. Tell people about your childhood and Christmas, because I found this strangely fascinating.
Well, Christmas was a really bummer time of the year for me every year.
So your entire life, you thought of Christmas as just, it's a bad day and not fun. And
yeah, there was nothing to do. I had no one to play with.
Were you raised Jewish? Is that why?
Raised secular, and okay. But all of my friends were celebrating Christmas with their family. My family would have celebrated Hanukkah, but it's like nobody wanted to celebrate Hanukkah.
You had nothing.
And everybody knew. It's like, well, yeah, the lighting of the candle. I think we tried it one year. It's like light candles over 9 small presents. It's like, this sucks. You know, it's like, at least we want the Christmas present, you know, like the one good one, you know,
right.
Like 9 little presents, and we're lighting the candle and we're all looking at each other like, yeah, but none of us believe any of this stuff. Why are we bothering to like light a candle for night? So that was 1 year, and the rest, it was just kind of sitting around by myself reading, no one to play with. And I was imagining everybody else with their Christian families, sitting around holding hands around the tree, kind of being loving and singing songs and carols together. And I was going, I don't know what that's like. It's just this imagined thing that all my friends were having this wonder. And some of them probably were. Some of them might have been fighting. Who knows?
Sure, yeah.
But we were all fighting.
Yeah,
trust me.
My imagined version was like this wonderful, loving time of singing and kind of closeness. And we would just kind of be moping around the house and doing nothing,
so,
and waiting for it to end so I can get back to my life.
And Halloween for you was everything.
Halloween was always my favorite day of the year, night of the year. And especially when I grew up in the 60s, there was no supervision whatsoever. You know, now that I have kids, it's like I'd never just turn my kids loose and say, be back by 10. But that's kind of what it was like, even when I was a little kid, because, you know, my older brother would watch. Older brothers had to watch little brothers and sisters, and we just ran amok. We were in masks running amok, just being wicked little things. So it really was a matter of Halloween was my favorite night of the year. I got to be somebody else and be kind of fun, wicked. And Christmas was more and more every year of my life kind of a depressing cloud. Really, like I could see it rolling in. As soon as I hear Christmas music.
So like, all the month of December is a nightmare for you because of all the music that reminds you of that sad day.
Yeah, yeah. It was just kind of like the sadness. As soon as I started hearing the music, I go, oh, God, here it comes again. It was like this black cloud would roll in, and I would just wait for New Year's.
Did it make it worse that your friends would tell you all the stuff they got, and they would, I mean, everybody else seemed to be having
fun? It wasn't the stuff they got, because we got presents. It's just that there were no other, I didn't know any other families where we grew up.
I didn't know
any other Jewish families, for example. So I could say, oh, I'll call them up and we can hang out and play.
Right.
So it was just kind of like, it was just kind of, I don't know. And it also, the sense of forced cheer, used to really bring me down. Because aside from what it really was or wasn't happening with all the families, there still is. This thing gets me. When I hear the Christmas music, I start getting really irritated every year. Because there is this force, like, you will be happy and you will buy. And you will be happy, happy, happy. Cheer. Don't you hear it? It's all around you. Cheer means buying. And you just feel this whole kind of sense of you must be happy.
But what happened in your life where you made the pivot to where Christmas is good?
Well, it really...
Was it kids?
Yeah. Suddenly, I had Molly and Lola, and I suddenly was going, you know what? Forget about what I think about it. This should be a positive thing for them, and I'm not going to bring them down. And I started trying to enjoy it through their perspective. They were really excited the night before with the presents, the whole thing, like the excitement, the anticipation. You know, Christmas... Aside from all religious things, it's a brilliantly conceived holiday.
Right.
And I understand how the Jews came up with Hanukkah to try to compete, but they just didn't understand the dynamics of, no, it's not nice. One big night, all this anticipation. You almost can't go to sleep. Santa, this guy is coming. He's going to leave all these things under your tree. It's a brilliant conception. And so I did bring that to my kids. And in fact, my father, who was an atheist his whole life and had no religion at all, but he played Santa for 10 years.
Is that right?
As he got older, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
And yeah, he did the full, he got in the back room, put on the suit, came out of Santa, and he loved it. So we really did the Christmas with the Santa coming out, with the presents.
Well, you had to make up for lost time, too. Your entire childhood was miserable.
Yeah, so I tried to give them the Christmas that I never had.
So Danny is again doing Danny Elfman Halloween at the Hollywood Bowl, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. And the K-Rock presale for this is tomorrow, Wednesday, September 7th at 10 a.m. Through Thursday, September 8th at 10 p.m. And then tickets go on sale to the public, everybody else on Friday. If you'd like to see this, it's great. It's live music. It's a live orchestra.
Live orchestra. And we're singing all the songs live. And the best thing about this for me is that we have Catherine O'Hara, the original Sally, Paul Rubens, the original Locke.
Now, you didn't do this part last year, these people, right?
Well, no. Paul was able to make one night,
right?
But he's coming for both nights. Catherine, I wouldn't even do it if Catherine wasn't doing it with me. She made it really for me the whole show. And Ken Page, who played Oogie Boogie, is coming back. So we have like original cast, and that's what really made it special for me. Because when I do it, the songs with Elfman Burton show, I mean, I really love coming out and singing the stuff. But doing the original cast like this is pretty cool for me.
And so, if people haven't seen it, it's the screen. You're watching the movie.
You're watching
at the
movie
same time.
And the orchestra and all of us with a cast of singers that we've put together, including some original cast of voice, character voices, we'll be singing everything live, playing everything live and singing everything live in sync with the picture.
So K-Rock listeners have plans now for Halloween. This is good. This is Saturday, October 29th at 8 p.m. and Sunday, October 30th.
And I probably really should mention, this is not going to be a Halloween tradition for the next 17 years.
I was going to ask you about that.
Oh, yeah. Positive. This is it. So if you want to see it, this is my one return, because I was only going to do it once.
Wow.
And I agreed to do it one more time.
Okay.
So this is definitely it.
This is it. So if you want to see me do Nightmare Before Christmas and the original cast, and believe me, getting the original cast together to do this is such
easy.
A great thing. These shows are the ones.
Again, the K-Rock presale is Wednesday tomorrow at 10 a.m. through Thursday at 10 p.m. Public on sale at Friday. There is a K-Rock presale password, and it's K-Rock Nightmare, one word. K-Rock Nightmare, one word. More with Danny Elfman when we come back on K-Rock. Danny Elfman is in the studio with us. Again, as Danny Elfman presents Halloween at the Hollywood Bowl, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's a live orchestra. He's singing live. It sounds like a great night for
Southern
California.
Original cast.
Original cast.
That's right. Catherine, Paul, they will be there.
Saturday, October 29th at 8 p.m. and Sunday, October 30th at 6:30 p.m. Really looking forward to that.
Thank you.
I was thinking back how long we've had you on the program, and I remember a time when you made the poor decision of allowing Bean and I to come to your house.
Yes, I remember. You were still trying to clean the walls.
Well, there's a lot of... Let's talk about your home. There's a lot of weird crap in there. I mean,
yeah.
You've got the stuff that people would hope you have way more of.
Yeah, because I've been collecting that weird crap for a long time.
What got you into, is it, how do you say it, Dia de los Muertos?
Dia de los Muertos?
Yes. What got you into that so much?
Well, I mean, that was just an extension of stuff I was already into, because it really started when I was 18. You know, I spent a year in West Africa straight out of high school, and I started collecting when I was 18, and it just never stopped. I mean,
got some of the human skulls?
Yes and no. I got skulls carved out of other things. I found three amazing skeletons about three and a half feet tall carved out of bone that looked like right out of something you would find in Latin America, because that's the culture. A grinning skeleton you'll find in two different cultures. Tibet, you'll also find it in Latin American, connected with Dia de los Muertos. And there it was in West Africa on the street. And I bargained with this guy for 3 days and finally got all three of them. That's the kind of stuff you did there. And I gave two of them to two friends that I was with there in Bamako, Mali, in West Africa. And I sent the third home. And that was really like my first object. And then I started seeing more stuff and never sent it home, including... Well, my favorite thing that I found, my mother used to tell me the story of the monkey's paw. It's a famous ghost story of this paw that has these powers and causes all this trouble to this Welsh family. And I found a mummified monkey's paw, which is one of the hardest things to get there. And the juju lady, the woman who sells the magic stuff, in fact, I'd have them taken away from sight if I walked by. They didn't. And this one woman, I see this thing shriveled, really old, looks like 100 years old.
See that? I walk and in the other direction.
Yeah, no, she holds it up to me and she goes, "Pour vous, monsieur?" And she saw that I was looking at that. And I sent it in a package home to my mother with all over it written, "Do not open. Do not open this
no.
under any circumstances until I get home. Do not open." Knowing I'm not going to be home for 6 months at least. And I knew she wouldn't last one. But I was just curious how long she would last.
She opened it?
Of course she opened it.
Yeah. You should have written open on it.
And screamed. No. Don't open is the way to make her open it.
Oh, right. Exactly. So what else do you have? You have like monkeys?
Well, I mean, I have monkey skeletons. I have a lot of skeletons. Well, there's a number of collections. One of them is taxidermy, but only it has to be a century old.
I don't collect any
taxidermy of this last century where I think something got killed for that prize
in
my lifetime. So
how does one go about looking for that stuff?
You can actually get 19th century and early 20th century taxidermy. And I have a number of pieces by a guy named Potter. It was late 19th century, who did small animals posed wearing clothes and things. He swears he never killed an animal to do his things.
Like a weasel with a monocle type of thing?
It would be more like the original idea of kittens playing cards or animals at a tea party all posed.
Wow. But if somebody knows where I can get a weasel with a monocle, I'd be...
I don't know why
you can
weasel
get a
with
weasel
a
with a monocle. I also have a monkey in a top hat and a fishing pole.
Like you do,
under glass. So I mean, there's taxidermy. There's a lot of bones because I love bones. I don't have any wet things. Nothing in jars. Nothing squishy.
Like no eyeballs or brains.
No eyeballs or brains.
Okay.
And then just I like 19th century scientific instruments. Old effed up dolls.
Yeah.
From last century, because those scared me a lot.
I just remember looking around going, there's something very wrong with
Danny. Ventriloquist dummies.
Wait, you just said they scared you, and that's why you bought them.
Most of what I have are things that scared me when I was a child, and then I became infatuated with as an adult. So I couldn't look at old, broken dolls when I was a child. Like old
dolls. Come alive at night.
I don't know. It would just scare me. I just couldn't look at them. And so I started immediately collecting them.
Wow.
You know, but I was a funny kid. There was a picture in a monster. You know, I collected all the monster magazines when I was a kid, and there was a picture I couldn't look at of a head. I was also couldn't look at amputations. Really bothered me.
Right.
And,
same.
Now you just collect limbs.
I collect artificial limbs. I have a great collection.
Not ready for that.
Old limbs, like artificial limbs again, 19th century artificial limbs. I love. And this picture of a head, my brother took it from the magazine, and he taped it on the wall when I was on the phone. I turned, I saw it there, and I remember hearing, I was going to pass out. I was hearing rushing water in my ears like waves. But I took that picture and I taped it to my own wall facing my bed. So I'd look at it every night before I went to sleep and every morning when I woke up until I took its power away.
You did that to get over it.
To get over it.
Yeah.
And after a week, I could wake up and laugh at it. Say, "Hi, you don't have power over me anymore." And then I became infatuated.
And now
with
your
that.
Houses
now
are
I've got
filled with that
five
stuff.
Five shrunken heads and several monkey mummy heads from Egyptian mummy heads. And,
right, sure.
But they're all dried. None of them are fresh. I swear to God.
I believe you.
There's no fresh
we
heads.
Don't think there is.
Yeah, okay.
You're looking at us like you're afraid that we're misunderstanding.
Yeah, you're misunderstanding.
We're not at all.
No fresh heads under glass.
I'm saying I
they're
was there.
They're dry. But... they're completely dry.
Right. I was there, and it sort of scared me the amount of it that's there, though. I mean, it's not just a thing or two. His entire house is made up of this stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're kind of a crazy collector and you get 40 years of collecting, you collect a lot of stuff.
Have you ever thought about donating it to a museum so other people could enjoy your collections?
No.
Okay.
Well then.
He doesn't really want that to happen.
No, I mean, look, that's something, you know, my kids could decide one day in the future if that's something they wanted to do. But for me, not only does nothing ever leave, I put things temporarily. Well, I'll just put it here for now until I figure out where it goes. And 10 years later, it's like, oh, my God, did somebody move that 2 inches?
Wow.
It's moved. It has to go back. It's exactly here. So wherever it just sits, it stays doesn't move.
Danny, we never have enough time with you. We always appreciate that you come in and spend time with us here at K-Rock. The Nightmare Before Christmas at the Hollywood Bowl is happening Saturday, October 29th at 8 p.m. and Sunday, October 30th at 6:30 p.m. We have a pair of tickets to give away right now, 1-800-520-1067. If you would like the first pair of tickets, we will give those to you right now. If you want to call K-Rock.
K-Rock. Yep. And remember, K-Rock, that's where we started.
Yeah.
There would be no... me, if there was no Oingo Boingo, and there would be no Oingo Boingo if it was not for K-Rock.
And Jed the Fish.
Jed the Fish started us. You know that we're a discovery of Jed's, that we were just made our own four-song EP, and Jed discovered it and started playing it.
Oh,
and
wow.
Everything that's happened to me has started from that discovery.
Well,
that crazy Jed.
Thank God
that
for
thing.
Jed.
Yeah, we've gotten plenty
from
you as well.
We made 100 copies of ourselves. Took a risk, and he got one of them.
Wow. That's awesome. All right, first caller, 1-800-520-1067. Again, if you want to buy tickets, the K-Rock presale is tomorrow, Wednesday at 10 a.m. through Thursday at 10 p.m., and then the public on sale is September 9th at 10 a.m. Danny, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for coming
costumes,
in.
Costumes. Don't forget the costumes. For the show, the costumes.
Oh, yes.
Costumes.
I'm sorry. Wild I totally
costumes.
Forgot that part.
Okay.
Dress
crazy
up.
Costumes. Oh, my God.
Danny does everything all the way.
Right.
You
so.
Will see the craziest costumes.
And this will
I
be the last
you.
Time you can ever That's, see the show.
Well, no, it's the last time I'll ever do it. So there might be other versions or something mm-hmm. without live singing. Because there is a show that tours around with an orchestra and the live track from Picture.
Uh-huh.
So I can't say what or won't happen with that version
the
of the show.
Time you will do
but
it.
For me... personally, here in Los Angeles, yeah, this is it.
And Catherine O'Hara and Ken Page and Paul Rubens.
Paul Rubens, yes.
All going to be performing
I'll
as well.
Be there.
Danny, thank you for coming in. We
thank
appreciate
you.
It so much. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56. Ralph Garman is here now for a look at the show biz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I want to remind folks, Friday night at the Improv on Melrose, we want to come out and see Kevin Smith and I do our Hollywood Babylon show. We will be there at the Improv Late Show, 10 p.m. Friday night.
No!
You can go to improv.com to get your tickets.
No.
What do you say?
No!
So, maybe. So, I'm saying there's a chance.
There's a maybe.
I think there's a chance. Top 10 movies at the box office over the very week, Labor Day, box office weekend. Number one movie only made $19 million, but Don't Breathe was the winner. Suicide Squad made $12.8 million, made it number two. Then Pete's Dragon, Kubo and the Two Strings, and Sausage Party were your top five films. War Dogs was sixth. Bad Moms came in at number seven. The only new film on the list was The Light Between the Oceans, debuted with $5.9 million, made it number eight. Hell or High Water was ninth. Mechanic Resurrection came in at number 10. Beyonce, partying in Philly over the weekend. Woo! My hometown was rocking with Made in America, Jay-Z's music festival that he does there every Labor Day weekend. And she was hanging out with former President Bill Clinton at the event.
Isn't it funny that you sort of think, wow, that's pretty good for Bill?
Yeah.
Because she's so great.
Queen Bee and Bill Clinton, right?
No. I don't think that's what we're saying.
That's what was happening.
No one is saying that.
Carmelo Anthony was also... hanging out in the VIP section.
along with Chance the Rapper, Rihanna, Coldplay, DJ Khalid all performed at the event. It was pretty cool.
Except and for that it was in Philadelphia.
That was the coolest part.
That's what I meant.
And then Beyonce canceled her show tomorrow night at the MetLife Stadium in Jersey.
Oh.
So she's partying, having a good time. Providing for her own needs.
Right.
What about the Beehive? What do they get?
A Beehive.
Beehive.
Bay.
Do you call her Beyonce?
It's a Beehive.
No, it's not Beehive. It's spelt that way, but it's pronounced Beehive. Look it up!
This is the best argument I've ever heard.
Canceled her show because she needs vocal rest. Right? Because
stop no it. One is saying that.
Her throat is sore. I'm saying...
Ralph Garman.
Tour will get back underway on September 10th in St. Louis. So, Jersey gets hosed.
Again.
But she said she will return to Jersey to close out the tour on October 7th. So, fear not, fans of hers. And sad news, Lil Wayne has announced he is finished with music. A grateful nation salutes you, Lil Wayne. He tweeted on Saturday, "I am now defenseless and mentally defeated." So Kevin said this morning we couldn't find his key card to get into the building.
What happened to him that...
He's defenseless and mentally defeated, Kevin.
I know,
but... What more do you need to know? I leave gracefully and thankful. I love my fans with a Z, but I'm done, D-U-N. So I think the first part was written by someone else and the second part was written by Lil Wayne. He added 2 hours later, "Ain't looking for sympathy, just serenity." I think maybe he's tired because he is in a legal battle with his business partner, Birdman. Last year, he sued Birdman, who is the CEO of Cash Money Records, for $51 million. So they got some problems there. And he's taking himself out of the game. So, salute, Lil Wayne.
When Birdman answers the phone, does he say,
"Yes, Kevin"? Exactly.
A little two on the nose?
No, it's exactly how he answers the phone.
Okay.
That was a sweet, sweet setup you did for yourself there. Pretty strong.
I'm not allowed to alley if I'm going to oop? Are those the rules?
When he answers the phone. How about just...
Back to you.
We have a statement from Birdman.
Sure.
Thinking then you could just tie it into the story and have to... create a fictional phone call. Just sneak that in the end there. Today's celebrity birthdays. Idris Elba's 44 years old today. Chad Coleman. Tyrese on The Walking Dead, 42 years old. Roger Waters, legendary singer, bassist for the band Pink Floyd, is 73 years old. And Cranberry singer Dolores O'Riordan, 45.
Oops, sorry, I didn't know I had that clip up.
That's okay. Do you have any clip up? Are we doing anything with,
we can
the,
do it.
With the Cranberries?
Yes, we can. I like that noise coming out of you.
You don't know. Let's get Linger up next for the next hour. What do you say? A little Linger?
Yeah, Linger or Dreams. Both great.
Take it easy.
Oh, I didn't know.
I love Cranberry.
The biggest Cranberry fan here. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
Yeah, it is.
Ralph Garman steps in now for a final look at the showbiz beat for today.
Yeah. It's a Tuesday, but we're going to take a look at the weekend box office anyway because of the long weekend. Labor Day weekend, not a lot of people went to see the movies. The number one movie only made $19 million. But that's what Don't Breathe made, and it made it number one at the box office this weekend.
You are all going to die tonight.
Yeah. Don't F with blind guys. If they take one lesson away from the Kevin and Bean Show, it's that.
It's an important tip.
It sure is. That's Stephen Lang's good actor, too, by the way.
Is that the guy that played the vet? Wow, mm-hmm. He was so good.
Yeah. Suicide Squad, second at the box office with $12.8 million, followed by Pete's Dragon, Kubo, and his two strings. Sounds like a crappy guitar, by the way. It's got two strings on it. Sausage Party, fifth. War Dogs came in at number 6. Bad Moms at number 7. The only new movie in the top 10 was The Light Between the Oceans. That debuted with $5.9 million. Put it at number 8 on the list. Hell or High Water and Mechanic Resurrection were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Kanye West in a little hot water.
Really? What a surprise.
Yeah. Cheesing some people off. Held auditions Sunday in New York City for his Yeezy Season 4 event. You know, he's got to show off his new line, which will be part of Fashion Week. But he cheesed some people off while looking for models by saying, and I quote, he only wanted multiracial women. That was the only woman who would be allowed to audition. Word was he was specifically looking for women with the same skin tone as his wife, Kim Kardashian. So a lot of people complain on social media that this is how Kanye is excluding dark-skinned black women from auditioning for his fashion show. And so there are many African-American women who were upset with his demand that they be multiracial and not dark-skinned black. Thousands of women showed up at the open call for the audition. Most of them did, in fact, follow Kanye's rules. But some people showed up anyway trying to flaunt his requests and got turned away, reportedly. So I say string them up, right?
What?
Put them in jail. Put them in those stockades. Put them in the stocks.
We don't have stockades.
Well, let's bring them back, right? That's what I'm saying.
But for what?
Put them in the stockade.
For?
In the center of town.
Right.
And then have everyone walk by and berate him for his racial profiling. Or his multiracial profiling.
Yeah, it's not 100 years ago, though, right?
Oh, it'd be so cool if it was. Put a dunce cap on him. Let people mock him and pelt him with rotted vegetables. Come on.
You live a rich fantasy life.
Oh, it would have been good. Because,
baby, I'm awesome.
You're not awesome.
Also.
You're not also awesome.
I'm also awesome.
You're neither.
Y'all know.
I don't know.
He says you do.
Could Daniel Craig be the next James Bond? Now, we famously heard he had rejected Sony's offer of reportedly $150 million to keep him in the role. Daniel has repeatedly said he's done with the character after 4 films. But over the weekend, Radar.com is reporting that Sony is in negotiations once again to bring Daniel Craig back for 2 more films.
Wow.
Now, famously, Tom Hiddleston and Idris Elba have been mentioned as possible replacements, but Sony would rather go with the character that people seem to respond to in that role, and so opening up new negotiations, maybe offering more than $150 million to take the
game. That seems a crazy amount of money.
I will take the role for half of that. I will announce it right now.
$75 million?
In case Sony is listening, for $75, I will save you $75 million, Sony. And make me the next James Bond.
I'll do it for 74.
Oh.
Save him another million on top of that.
All right, I'll do it for 70.
I'll do it for $5.
Dollars?
Million.
Oh.
Yeah. What a bargain.
You'd like to see Allie as James Bond. All conspiracy theories, and she won't go hiking or on a cruise ship. She can only fight Spectre in very specific situations.
Home.
Yes. They have to come to her house. Blofeld would have to show up with a pizza.
I can't have pizza, Ralph. That's just mean.
I forgot. That's right.
Not forget
so,
that.
Jane Bond here would not be able to eat any cheese.
The worst movie ever.
It'd be a very specific diet that 007 would have to partake in.
This does not sound like a good movie.
It does not.
I don't want to see it.
It'd be a bad, bad Bond. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but it was a very cool event happened over the weekend. The Revolution got back together. Prince's legendary backup band from the 80s reunited at First Avenue, which is the club, of course, where Purple Rain was shot. Wendy and Lisa were there. Of course, his guitarist and keyboard player, Wendy and Lisa from the Revolution. Dr. Fink. Brown Mark, the bassist. Drummer Bobby Z. They all got together and played a bunch of Prince songs as a tribute to their fallen comrades. So, it's a very cool event. There's a bunch of tape online. You can check it out on YouTube and stuff.
Is Count Smokula there?
Nice
or no?
Smokula didn't drop by.
Didn't make it. That's a shame.
I know he was a big part of Prince's early success.
What's wrong with you? Why is that the name?
I just love it so much.
It's because you love Count Chocula so much.
Well, maybe.
It's very close.
And it's that time of year again, so.
What time of year would that be, Kevin?
Count Chocula, as it leads up to Halloween, there's so much more of it in the stores. You can find it at all the stores. It's so good.
You know it's in stores year-round, right?
Yeah, but you can't. Trust
they
me.
They really ramp it up around the
trust time. Me when I tell you. It's not in all the stores, but around Halloween time it is. So that's good.
Do they have pumpkin spice Count Chocula?
I don't know. Because that would ruin the chocolate taste,
this
Ralph.
Time of year, you're getting a lot of pumpkin spice back in the stores as well.
You don't know.
You know how I love the pumpkin spice.
You don't know, man.
Today's celebrity birthday is Chad Coleman. He was Tyrese on The Walking Dead. He's 42 years old today. Idris Elba, just talking about him as a potential Bond.
He'd be so great.
I still think Ali's got the lead, though.
I'll give it to him.
Can I not have cheese on that?
Is that your impression?
Can I not have cheese on the pizza? Moneypenny, could you make sure that nobody kills me while I'm on this cruise?
James Bond could not be that afraid of murder.
Right?
Well, maybe that's how I get him.
However,
they all think I'm totally afraid of it, but no, I'm not.
However, Bond would have a lot of conspiracy theories that he could check out. So adventure after adventure. Roger Waters. Pink Floyd. Singer, bassist, 73 years old today. And Cranberry singer Dolores O'Riordan is 45 today. Sing it, Dolores. I worked with her, you know. I don't know if I mentioned this story or not, but there used to be a TV series called Charmed.
You mentioned it a lot.
And I was on this series, and I had a chance to work with the Cranberries when I brought them out on stage.
Yeah, you brought this up.
I don't know if I brought that up or not.
You brought it up.
We were very, very close.
Six times. You haven't even done showbiz that much.
We had a close, personal relationship, Dolores and I, and I'm happy to wish her a happy birthday. It was just yesterday when I was on stage with her.
Folks, it's a real pleasure for me to introduce, in a one-night-only benefit for the Animal Rights Fund, the Cranberries.
Pretty well done.
Thank you so much.
Pretty well done.
Pretty believable as a guy who announced a band. That's why I'm an actor. I remember her being particularly surly that day.
Oh, is that right?
Truth be told, she was a little surly, a little standoffish. I don't know whether she was not having a good day or something was making her unhappy. Perhaps it was me.
Maybe it was the guy that announced her.
Could have been that guy.
Yeah.
But I just remember not getting a lot of warmth, not getting a lot of love from Dolores.
It's funny because earlier you said you were a lifetime friend.
No, but I'm doing what they call, Kevin, in show business, I'm pulling back the curtain.
I see, okay.
To let the kids in on a little real-life showbiz anecdote.
Gotcha.
Is what I'm doing. So
she didn't like you. She
did not care for me at all.
Specifically.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. The Bachelor in Paradise is having its finale tonight.
Oh, so sad.
It's finale.
God,
it's final. It's final show. It's going away.
Oh, I hope everyone finds love.
I'm sure you do.
I really do.
So tomorrow morning, the last Bachelor in Paradise report on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we're going to talk some fantasy football. We'll see you tomorrow.